All right, everybody, welcome into Joel Radio. It's Joel with you. How you doing out there in podcast land? Got a great show for you today, I think. I think I put together something special. Something we don't normally do on the show, Corey. It's something different.
Yes, sir.
It is.
My idea, but Joel did all the work. All right.
Well, you had, yeah, we've done this in the past, a premise similar to this, but this one's different, and I hope you like it. It's Joel Radio. We got a blast from the past here with us as well, Corey.
We absolutely do. It is our pleasure to welcome back our friend, boat comic, comedy maestro, teller of the tales, the guardian of the secret flame, noted musicologist, prop comic, Bill Hildebrandt.
Hey.
Do you still have the mug with the microphone in it?
Absolutely. That's 7 clean minutes. Are you kidding me? I can't give that up.
So Bill is back, and now Bill's going to be our expert. We're going to solve today, if we can. We're going to try to figure out, because it's March Madness, people are filling out brackets, and you know, we've done in the past, we've done our brackets of hottest celebrities. We did a bracket of that one year, and we've done this a couple times.
But it usually involves which kind of nipples we prefer.
Yeah, exactly.
But we did a lot of that last week. So
right. So anyway, this time I came up because it's also very soon is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. That's in about, I think that's in 3 weeks. So I've kind of tied the two together, and we're going to figure out who is the greatest band ever, according to who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've got a 64 artist bracket, and you can download that on joelradio.net or on the Twitter at Joel Radio Show and play along if you want at home. But I've set this up nicely and spent way too many hours making this thing and seeding everybody and doing all the research. But I think it's going to be fun to figure out who the best act is ever. And Bill has a background in music. Right, Bill. Tell everybody.
Well, I worked in recording for a while. Yeah, when I first got to.
That was when Detroit
my last couple
was
years of college.
And Detroit was a hot scene back then. Michigan.
Well,
yeah.
We recorded Bachman Turnover Drive. Live. We did. We used to do a lot of scratch tracks for Alice Cooper, stuff like that.
Okay, yeah. So there you go. So Bill is an industry insider. You're not eating the 7-Eleven pizza.
I was handed a slice of pizza at 7-Eleven. Their test marketing
That's
pizza.
That's their new thing, yeah.
And there's some things even I won't do in the name of I don't know, maybe.
But is it worse for them to do that instead of those hot dogs that are just disgusting? Or is that like...
Those are gross, too.
They are, yeah.
Not to sidetrack from Bill's incredible
story. But
they
sell them.
They do.
People eat them. You see them in there all the time. Well, let's get one of these.
Yeah.
Did you ever do any Grand Funk Railroad?
No, didn't get to
work on that.
No.
All right, so we'll get to that shortly. Let's do a little show business before we really get rolling today. I just want to let you all know that next week on the Thursday, that's March 27th, Joel Radio's live at O'Mara's doing another open mic. We did the one that you heard. We talked about it last week with the amazing Nino Brown. If you didn't hear that show, you can go get that at joelradio.net. But that was quite the scene, and we're doing it all again live for you next Thursday, March 27th, at O'Mara's in Berkeley, Michigan. That's at 12 Mile in Coolidge. It'll be at 10 o'clock. So we want you to come out and sit in the audience and enjoy the show.
Open mics are always a lot of fun.
They're fun. Well, the thing
it's
is, you know,
a bunch of young punks I wish would get out of my industry.
Bill, I will.
Here's what's great. See,
well, before we get to that, let me invite Bill now. I will open. You don't have to answer now. But I'm inviting you. I'll have a spot for you if you want one next Thursday.
No, I'll just
March
come on and
27th.
Watch. It's
and,
as much
okay,
fun for me
right.
as it is anybody
you,
else.
You,
I enjoy it.
You know.
See, you know, as much as people say that Joel and I are the Statler and Waldorf of Detroit comedy, and we're just old hecklers that sit around and shit on all these young guys, you were our heckler. That was when we started. Bill was the guy that went, "Ah, that sucks."
Bill was the angry guy who told us we sucked.
Yeah.
Don't do that bit again.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's good to become full circle.
I mean, I had somebody do it to me, and I always thought it was beneficial.
Yeah,
so
I think
it
so.
To you guys. You
know? I agree. But,
if somebody's kissing your ass all the time, you're not going to, that doesn't improve you. You continue to make the same mistakes over and over until somebody pulls you aside and says, you know, hey, look.
But I don't think the 24-year-old guys now, I always appreciated your input. I always thought, sometimes thought you were a grumpy old prick, but I appreciated what you were telling me. and I always looked at you as a way, you know, you had a talent and a ability on stage that I could go, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. Other guys don't do that. Now, these 24-year-old guys come up, and they don't actually look and see who's good. And they all just want to get in a little circle jerk and tell each other they're pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get that.
Yeah. Well, it was that way when I got started,
yeah,
too. We had the same problem.
Well, there's a tradition of that in comedy, but also as the tradition of, like, paying comedians a living wage to do it. Since that tradition is over, other traditions are also going to fall by the wayside. So we should
point.
Be expected. A little more show business. Don't forget, you can get the show on Stitcher if you have a smartphone, Android, iOS device. You can get it on Stitcher, and it's instantaneous as long as you have a data connection. And, of course, we're on iTunes as well. So get Joel Radio there if you use iTunes. Write a review. It always helps us. So we appreciate that. And, of course, Joel Radio Show on Twitter. You can get the show there, too. But let's start with we'll stay in the comedy world before we switch over to rock and roll. And let's say goodbye to David Brenner, one of the all-time greats in comedy. If you talk to certain people, they'll go, I don't know who the hell that is. So he had one of those careers where he was red hot for like a decade.
Right.
And, you know, he's sort of been defined by that.
Yeah.
Now, he was a little before my time, meaning like, I started watching Carson in probably like 83, 84.
Yeah, he was big in the 70s.
And he was big in the late 70s on there. So what are your memories of David Brenner?
Yeah, no, he was one of those guys. He was a Carson regular, you know, and you saw him occasionally. I think he even went back to the last days of like Ed Sullivan.
Right, okay.
I think I can remember him doing that, too.
Yeah.
And but this is one of the things, you know, about comedy. It's really changed. Back in the day, you know, back when you had the Ed Sullivans and the Carsons and stuff like that, stand-up comedy was rare.
Yeah.
I mean, for a guy to be a stand-up comic, you know, they were few and far between. So whenever they had one on their show, it was a real treat. And you tend to pay attention, you know. And so these guys got a lot of focus on them. But there's so much of it today, it's so watered down. Nobody cares anymore.
Now, was he a guy that thrived because of that, because there were so few guys doing it?
Yeah, because it was a special deal.
Because me and Corey were talking on the phone, and we're like, do you remember one David Brenner bit? And I'm like, I don't. But he was sort of a personality to me. He was sort of a guy who was like, you know, a talk show guest and sort of a, you know, a rock on tour more than he was.
He did not. He had an observational style.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, I went over to the bank and I don't understand what he's saying. But they give you the little pen and it's hard to write. Like that was all his kind of material. And so that's not like.
But that's what the 70s gave birth to, though. That's what everybody started going to. They got away from the mother-in-law jokes.
Yeah.
Right. Robert Klein.
That Alan King was doing. And who's the other guy?
Take My Wife, Please. Yeah.
No, not him.
Henny Youngman or.
Not Youngman, but
the other.
The Jewish guy. The guy that was thrown off a stage.
Jackie Mason. Jack Carter.
Thanks.
All these old kind of.
And
those guys were like flop sweat, like, oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, I flew in. And they would like worked hard. They really.
But those guys would be in a tuxedo and they'd sing a song at the end and they'd do like a whole.
Oh, soft shoe.
Yeah. So.
And those guys really busted hump.
Like Brenner and Robert Klein kind of pushed those guys out of the way.
Right. Well, then you had the brief like Lenny Bruce Mortsall intellectual phase.
Yeah, and that's
then
when the observational thing started
Elaine
to come
May
in.
Nichols.
They started talking about current events and that type of stuff.
We know the history of comedy, and I think a lot of these young punks don't.
Well, they'll learn it from listening to us.
Somebody put up a thing about Patrice O'Neill.
But it's not special anymore. I can't tell you how many people, you know, I meet. They go, what do you do? Oh, I'm a stand-up comic. Oh, yeah, really? Yeah, my son does that.
I know.
I got a cousin that does that, you know.
And it's like,
and they did it for a minute.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's like me saying to Tiger Woods, you're a golfer? Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, right.
I golf. You know, all you need is a cart and
right. I meet people who's like, my nephew took an improv class. He does what you do. You know, and it's like, that's just not the same.
Maybe that's why I so fiercely resist when these guys claim their, when everybody puts their name comedian on their social media profile.
Yeah.
Comedian Floyd Fartknocker.
Yeah.
And you're like, you did three open mics.
Yeah, and he's a comic. I know. That's
well,
the problem.
Kid,
what are you going to do?
Posted on YouTube that he had done one open mic and he quit his job and he was ready to pursue comedy.
Good for you.
And he got brutally, brutally date raped. He got like, you know, it was like Oz. Everybody stuck a shiv in him on the Comics Network. But these kids are like that. God bless you. Go do it. Go try it. But just shut up.
Well, you know, but that's kind of what happened. Remember Chris D'Angelo?
Yeah, we know Chris.
Well, Chris is an improv guy now.
But yeah, but that's basically what happened to him. Yeah. He was an open micer, and he won this contest where now he's the opener at DTE Energy Theater.
Yeah.
We're talking 7,000 people.
Uh-huh.
And he wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
And they take him out of an open mic situation, and they throw him in front of this huge crowd.
Yeah.
And it just and he so he was out of it for a while.
Well, he was out of it for good, I think, after that.
Then,
but
They threw him in front of the Doobie Brothers and 7,000 people. And now he's opening for 17 people doing freeze tag.
And that's Bill, but that was Bill's gig. That's 7,000 people with the Doobie Brothers.
I did the Doobie Brothers.
You did.
I did them.
But well, comics in the David Brenner era used to open up for rock acts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that must have been a horrible gig.
Well, interesting story. You ready?
All right.
Gabe Kaplan. Remember, welcome back, Connor.
Yeah, Gabe
everybody.
Kaplan.
Working with him up in Holly, Michigan.
Yeah.
Actually, it was Burton, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
But between shows, he invites me out to dinner. They, of course, had a limo for him and stuff.
Yeah.
And we go, and he's from California, and I was so delighted when he ordered a steak.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting there going, all right, meet right. here from California, perfect. But he's sitting there, and he's cutting a steak, and he says to me, he says, ah, Bill, he says, you know, I don't know if I can take the road anymore. And I said, what are you talking about? They fly you in here first class. They pick you up in a limo. You're staying in the best hotel,
yeah.
you know, in the presidential suite.
Yeah.
They're paying for your... And he looked at me, and he set his fork and his knife down, and he looked at me, and I said, oh, here it comes. He says, I want you to know. Yeah. He says, when I got started, there were no comedy clubs.
Yeah.
He goes, I worked for Jack Ruby,
yeah.
the guy that shot Oswald.
Sure, okay.
He goes, that's what comedy clubs were, is we went to strip clubs, uh-huh. and they put us on between the girls.
Yeah.
And that's how we got started.
Yeah.
He said, Jack Ruby threatened to kill me because he was dating one of the dancers. He goes, and I believed him.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and that was there weren't comedy clubs, there were nightclubs.
Right.
And nightclubs would have all kinds of entertainment. They'd have singers and dancers, but the comics would come in and do like they wouldn't just do a week, they'd be there for like a month.
Yeah.
And it was just a
or
different
longer. You know, if the guy was a hit, they kept him there. You
it was
know?
Kind of a different world altogether.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to Brenner, because I saw David Brenner once live, and it probably was like his final tour, I want to say, just because I never saw him again, at least in this town. But he had put out this book. This was after 9/11. He put out a book. I was looking up his Wikipedia. It was like, there's a terrorist in my soup. It was his observations on the modern world and terrorism and airplanes and all kinds of shit like that. And he showed up at the Comedy Castle, and I was excited to see him. And I remember I was doing a gig. I think it was up at Holly myself that week. And I came down, probably saw the Late Show Friday. And he had, like, charts and graphs and shit he had cut out of the paper. And he was holding things up and doing all this. And he did 90 minutes by himself. He must have walked a third of the audience before an hour was expired. I mean, he was not going over well. So I, you know.
Well, back when I was booking Joey's comedy club down in Dearborn, we had an opportunity to bring him in.
Yeah.
And it was one of these deals, and this happens quite often with these bigger name acts, where if they're in the area, if you can catch them en route to somewhere else,
yeah,
you can get them for a pretty good deal.
Okay.
And I just remember being a little astounded that I could get four shows out of a name like David Brenner,
uh-huh.
and it was only $2,000.
Okay, well, there you go.
And that I just thought that was surprising.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Right.
I thought, man, a guy like that should be a
but
lot
But he never
more
came.
Money.
He never came
but
in.
We didn't. We couldn't put it together.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Because then I thought, well, at least because I was always a fan of his on Howard Stern. He'd tell all these stories. You know, Howard always said he was this great Lothario, and he banged every model in the 70s and all this stuff. So I at least wanted to meet him and say
and
hi to
look,
him.
He looked like a raisin with a toupee.
Well, that's the thing. Really, yeah, that's the guy was not attractive.
And how old is he when he died? I don't remember.
He was 78, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think he was that
old.
Well, the shtick David Brenner was always like, I'm 39.
Yeah, yeah.
No one knew how old he was.
So I go to the Comedy Castle, and I like hang around like the club is empty. It's just the staff. And I'm going, well, he's going to come out of the green room, and at least I can say hi to him, you know. And the fucker, like, went out the back door. Didn't want to say hi to anybody after the show. Just went out the back door.
And the way the Comedy Castle's built, it's hard to get
out
of there.
You really got to go out of your way to, like, sneak out of the back door.
There's a long hallway to the
green
room.
And I was just like, you know, he's going to be one of those guys. So I think not only did he not do well, I think he felt it and was kind of like, I don't really want to, you know.
Well,
but I just would have liked to have said hi to the guy. And so it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. As like, well, who's this big shot? Because, you know, you could go in there and meet anybody usually. And especially if you're a guy that worked there like I did, you know, you can usually say hello to whoever I want.
Well, talk about heading out the back door. One day, we won't do it today because we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah,
I'll talk about Richard Lewis bailing at this club in Burton.
Yeah.
Walking off the stage early and going right through the audience and into the dressing room. And there was a door to the back alley. And I said to the owner of the club, I said, he's leaving. He's going, no, not yet. No, he's leaving.
He was gone.
So we went out another door. And sure enough, he was getting in the back of a limo. And he'd been paid. Yeah. And apparently part of it was in cash. Yeah. And the owner of the club, George Zaravellis, he's going, get back on the stage. He opens up the door of the limo. And he says, you've got 20 more minutes. And Richard Lewis is taking money out of his wallet. And he's throwing it at the club owner saying, no, I'm done. I'm finished. Oh, and he shut the door and he took off. And that's my Richard Lewis story.
There you go. All right. Well, when Richard dies, you can come back and eulogize him.
Yeah, that's why you always pay with a check at the end of the show.
Yeah, that's a lot of... Well, once guys get paid, you never know what they're going to do. All right, but let's get into this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame bracket.
All right.
Sleep well, David Brenner. We hardly knew
you. You know, David Brenner was nobody's favorite comic, but Johnny liked him, and therefore...
Yeah. Everyone,
he benefited from being Johnny's guy.
All right, let's get into this. Now, like I said, we in tying in with March Madness and the college basketball tournament, I've put together the 64, in my opinion, most relevant names in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, when I was doing research, Corey and I were on the phone trying to figure out what we should be count down the 64 highest grossing movies and do a tournament that way. We had a million ideas, but we came up with this one, and I figured out how many names are actually in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Turns out there's 199 acts in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that's not including like record executives and songwriters. These are just the performance, you know, recording acts. So I had to narrow it down to 64. So I had to leave some names out of here. So just before we get into it, you know, I left out James Brown because I figured James Brown is not really a rock and roll guy. He's more of a funk R&B guy. So I left him off. I left off guys like B.B. King.
And James Brown's influence was in hip-hop.
In hip-hop, maybe.
Because they all ripped off his
symbols. And, you know, there are hip-hop names that made it into the tournament. You know, I left off stuff like, you know, Parliament Funkadelic for the same reason. Some of the early influence guys like Del Shannon and Gene Vincent, I left them off because I think that's better represented by some of the guys I included.
I got to be honest with you, Joel.
Yeah.
Being an old guy.
Yeah.
There's a couple, two or three on here I don't know.
You don't know? Oh, all right. Well, we'll get
to
that.
I'm sitting there going, okay.
And, all right. You know, I left off. I went with only one act per person. So, like, Clapton, I think, is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame three times. Once for Cream, once for the Yardbirds, and once as Eric Clapton. And I included Cream because I thought that was the biggest act of those.
Did you include Tears in Heaven?
Well, again, I considered what was the biggest thing
for
him.
So, like, Joe Walsh is not in a solo act.
No, but the Eagles are on the list that I made. But, I mean, like, you know, the Beatles are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The three of them are as individuals and as the Beatles. For the purpose of the tournament, I didn't put them in as their solo works. It's just the Beatles as an act. So there's a lot of exceptions that I made to the rule, and you can look up the whole list of Hall of Fame guys if you want on the internet. And check it out. But I picked, I think, 64. I think I picked pretty good names. And Bill has filled out his bracket. Corey has filled out his bracket. And now we will get together with you at home. If you want to play along, go to joelradio.net and download the bracket. It's a PDF file. You can download it in about 2 minutes, probably less than that. And then you print it out and off you go. So let's get this going. Now, I'm also going to do this for those of you that don't have a bracket. Maybe you're in your car or whatever. You'll get to play along through the power of music, because I have all the acts here, and you'll hear a little sample from them, and then we will, as a three-person jury, decide who gets to move forward.
So
and,
what
we'll
you're telling
there.
Me is that, now what about all the play, now is there like an NIT tournament?
There's no,
there
might be, but not on this show. That's on some
because
other
Because I'm
show.
Looking at the Marshall Tucker Band versus the Alan Parsons Project.
Well,
as a,
I don't think either of them are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
14 seed match.
So this is only acts that are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And just so you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you have to have been, you have to had your debut record come out 25 years ago to make it. So only this year did Nirvana qualify, and they're in, they're getting inducted this year. So Nirvana made my brackets and all that
stuff.
So just
to make, just so you know where I'm coming from.
Yes. Yeah.
I haven't bought music since The Wall came out with Pink Floyd. That's the last album I ever bought. So
you should know these acts.
So, I know some of them. But Nirvana, I couldn't tell you what a Nirvana tune
is. Well, you'll hear a Nirvana tune, and I'll play one, and you'll...
But that's an example.
Okay.
You know, R.E.M.'s another. I think I know a
I know Peggy Lee is not on this list, and I know that you're a little...
R.E.M.'s from the 80s,
Where's,
mostly.
Did you... Rosemary Clooney. Did she
She's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And a do-ron-ron-ron, and do-ron-ron.
But we'll get to... And I seeded all of these, too. If you download the bracket, I said, The seating was determined, and this is me that did it by myself, but I use the following criteria: commercial success, influence on future acts, longevity, and quality of work. Now, of course, quality of work is subjective, and really influence is subjective as well. But still, I did the best I could, and I think I did a nice job of the seating. So let's go. Let's start on the top left here with our number one seed in this bracket. And let's listen to the number one seed.
No, we're going
to
hear songs.
You're going to hear a number one seed. We have four number one seeds, but Elvis Presley,
I
think.
Is this finally the podcast that we get an RIA cease and desist letter for?
Well, why don't you just, okay.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. We got it.
We got one. Okay, Elvis Presley.
Are we going to hear music from all these guys?
We're going to hear music from all these guys.
We're going to be here for a
week and
a
half. Well, let's just then, let's not have Corey interject with his RIA comments and just get to the topic. We have Elvis Presley. We heard that. He is competing against the 16th seed in this bracket from England. The leaders of punk, I think the first mainstream punk band, the Sex Pistols. You know who the Sex Pistols are.
Yeah, but I couldn't tell you one of their songs.
All right, well, who's better? Who deserves to go forward in your opinion, Bill? Elvis Presley or the Sex Pistols?
Elvis.
Yeah, I agree. Corey, you have any objections?
As much as I like the Sex Pistols, it's one album, and at their best, they were sloppy. Right.
Very influential, but only one record, and it doesn't really go.
It's an amazing impact, and it made a million punk bands.
Sure.
But you got to have Elvis.
All right, so we'll go to the eight now. And the next, we have an eight versus a nine. This is always a very tough matchup, the eights and the nines, whether it be college basketball or this. So let's, the eight seed in this bracket, one of my favorite bands, and I think, Corey, you'll agree with me on this. I don't know how Hildebrand feels, but, of course, it's The Band.
Yeah, that's one I picked that one.
That,
I got him.
The Band, you got The Band winning. Well, let's tell them who they're competing against, because maybe you're more of a fan of the metal. The origins of heavy metal right here, Black Sabbath. And I tell you what, when listening to this, I go, shit, I love this. This is great. Paranoid.
Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne's first band. I mean, great. But like I said, The Band is my favorite act. That's who I voted for. Bill. Bill's got The Band.
I hate to, this is going to get real dull real quick, but I went with The Band too.
All right. Well,
I hate metal.
Yeah.
But I do like Sabbath. That's like the
Sabbath
one.
Sabbath sounds good, yeah.
Sabbath is great. This album's great.
Yeah.
War Pigs, all that stuff.
Just takes me back to my blacklight days in college. That's
all right, next up, we have a four seed from Ireland, the pride of Ireland here, U2.
The only song I know of.
This just came out in, like, what, 82, Corey? 83, probably? I don't know.
In the Name of Love?
Pride in the Name of Love, yeah.
That's it.
And the number 13 seed. Now, Corey's a big fan of this, and these guys, one of the few hip-hop acts that actually made it in here, and I included them as a 13 seed, which is me being, I think, a little generous even. Because I'll tell you, I couldn't get through this whole track when I tried listening, but this certainly is an influential band. It's Public Enemy, and I have no problem voting for you two in this category. Corey,
play some 911's a joke.
Well, I don't have that queued up right now.
By the time I get to Arizona.
Yeah.
The problem with Public Enemy is I did like them at the time, but they've faded.
Sure.
And they haven't aged well.
Yeah, this is very basic.
When you're very militant and hard-edged, sometimes you don't age well.
So you're saying
I'm going with you two, the most the biggest band that I can barely tolerate in the world. They're very boring to me.
Yeah, you two I'm not a huge fan of, but I'm voting for them. Any objection? Oh, it's already two votes for you two, but
I got no idea who this guy is.
You don't know Public Enemy?
I couldn't care
Chuck
less.
D, Flavor Flav?
Nope, sorry,
Terminator
man.
Terminator X on the
trip. Nope,
table?
Nope.
All right, let's move along to something that Bill will know much better. The number five seed in the next matchup. Taking you right back to the early 70s, Bill. I mean, what?
Thank you.
How mellow is this for you?
This is a good start.
Elton John. Legendary singer, piano player.
Yeah.
Coxman.
But the guy's still out there.
He's still out there.
He's still
writing
shit. He's still relevant. He's got a ton of hits.
By that I mean he likes cock, man.
Yeah, we got it. I got it.
Okay.
Way ahead of you.
Elton John competing against number 12 seed. Now I'll tell you, when I must have been in like the eighth grade when this came out or something, this was the greatest album I had ever heard. If you would have asked Joel Fragamenti when this came out, I would have told you "License to Ill" by Beastie Boys was the greatest thing ever. They're in the Rock Hall at they're a 12 seed in my bracket. Corey, I'll let you vote first on this one.
On this one, I actually voted against my own interest.
Yeah.
Because if you ask me what am I more likely to listen to of these two, it's going to be the Beastie Boys.
Okay.
But I felt Elton John was a bigger act.
Well, my criteria in picking who I would choose to go forward is I always say, if you could never listen to either one of those forever for the rest of your life, you know, that's sort of how I look at it. Like, if one of these has to disappear and you can never hear it again, I think I would say goodbye to Beastie Boys, even though I like it.
Well, we had this discussion before the broadcast.
Yeah.
I'm a keyboard guy.
Yeah.
I love keyboards.
Sure.
I can listen to Funeral for a Friend over and over and over. Elton John, you know?
Okay, yeah.
So that's where I went.
Elton's
I like Elton John just fine, and I think he's a great songwriter.
Sure.
Personally, Beastie Boys, I mean, I saw them live.
Yeah.
They're more my generation, but I went with Elton.
All right, well, let's move on to the next bracket. Now, this is a number three seed. Corey probably no doubt wants this higher, but if it's the legendary West Coast sound of the Beach Boys. I love the colorful and Bill, of course, the keyboards. I'm guessing this has got to be Bill's pick. But they have a tough opponent here. I think a lot of people might not like the Beach Boys and instead go for this from Boston. And you have to admit, this is a great opening to any song, whether you like this band or not. Aerosmith, Dream On.
But see, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Between you and I.
Yeah.
And Corey.
Yeah.
You know, you probably like Aerosmith for the same reason I like Beach Boys.
Yeah.
Because that was the first song I was kind of hearing at the same time I was touching some girl's tip for the first
exactly,
time.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is certainly you could.
So
many babies were conceived to dream on, I'm sure.
I was squeezing boobies, you know, to.
That's always important.
Yeah.
Squeezing boobies to Good Vibrations. You are doing it to this.
Yeah. So. This is before my time, too, actually, Bill. This
is
the 70s. I was.
Right.
This might have come out in, what was it, 75?
Yeah.
That means I was three.
Yeah, 76.
75, 76. So.
Yeah, okay.
I mean.
Sorry.
Corey's certainly voting for Beach Boys.
I'm a massive Beach Boys fan, so as
you can make an argument that more bands in their wake sounded like Aerosmith than did Beach Boys, but I'm not making that argument. I'm also going to vote for Beach Boys.
A lot of indie rock.
Bill, any dissent on that?
No, I'm boys. That's what I got.
Beach Boys.
Yep.
All right. Beach Boys.
We're
all in lockstep here. Now, coming up next is a band that Corey wouldn't piss on these guys if they were on fire. This is, of course, the Eagles. They're a number six seed. Now, here's the thing about the Eagles. I'm with Corey, and I don't really give a shit about the Eagles. But I do like Joe Walsh. And this, if you watch that Eagles documentary, which you laughed at me for spending 6 hours of my life watching, the riff from this song was Joe Walsh's warm-up. He would warm up in the dressing room and play that lick, and somebody said, oh, that's good. We got to write a song around that. He said, I'm just warming up. And they're like, well, that's the lick. And it became Life in the Fast Lane.
Look,
so
the Hell Freezes Over video.
Yeah.
I mean, Hotel California. Come on, if that doesn't give you chills, listen to how crisp and how exact that is.
Well, if you want chills, let's listen to the next one, because here's something that'll give you chills. Though. Come on. They're up against the 11 seed, the Animals. This, of course, House of the Rising Sun, the standard that they did their own take on. And, I mean... Eric Burden's vocals, amazing.
And we gotta get out of
this
place.
Yeah, they did a lot of great.
That's like, pretty much it.
Misunderstood. A lot of good Animals.
Got me. All right.
Yeah, Animals.
Eric Burden was the most sinister looking guy in a suit.
Right. Yeah.
He was the ugliest singer.
He looked
of all the
pug ugly, but he would he was always in a suit in those early, and he looks like he's gonna stab you.
Yeah.
Well, that movie we always talk about, Pop Gear, which was like the '60s. They had all these '60s bands, and they shot it in widescreen. These guys come on and do this. And he's all pockmarked and ugly.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, who the fuck is this guy, man? Yeah, he looks like he's going to kill somebody, you know? But
as you know, I believe the Eagles to be the worst atrocity in the history of rock and roll.
So, Bill, you're for the Eagles, I'm guessing.
Yep.
Corey, you hate the fucking Eagles.
I'm for the Animals.
You got to be for the Animals. Well, I'm going to be the tiebreaker vote, and I think we have our first upset in the seeds. I'm voting for the Animals. Yeah!
Look, everything about the Eagles makes my skin crawl. I think they're the worst.
Here's the thing, and this is going to come up a few times on this show when we talk about it. There's bands where people who I think have awful taste in music, and that's their favorite band. I think the Eagles are one of those. You ever meet a guy who you just go, like, I wouldn't like anything this guy likes, and he tells you, I just love them Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that happens. There's a couple other acts that I think resemble that remark. So I think the Animals are going to take it by a 2-1 vote, and they'll move
on. All right.
Now we have a couple pop acts, which have also made the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they're competing in the next seed. At number 7, from right here in Detroit, in fact, Rochester, Michigan, to be more specific, Madonna. a catchy tune. All right. No one can argue with that. He's sort of the king of the 80s, or the queen of the 80s anyway. And here's the king of the 70s pop music, the Bee Gees. This is a number 7 against the number 10. Corey's dancing. Look at him. He's moving. I'll vote first here.
It's ugly. It's a good thing this is radio and you can't see Corey moving.
Well, look, I think the Bee Gees...
I think I felt the earth move.
If you listen to some of the Bee Gees' old albums before they went disco, those are actually some good tunes. They were sort of
The Bee Gees, talk about a giant influence.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the ones that embraced the disco thing.
Right.
And this, you know, falsetto singing and all this. This is all risk-taking as far as I'm concerned.
Well, oddly enough, the stuff the Bee Gees are most famous for is stuff I hate.
It's the stuff you like the least. This you don't care for.
But I do agree with you. The first 3 or 4 records by the Bee Gees are very 60s psychedelic.
Yeah.
Beatles influence.
Yeah.
And Cucumber Castle and You Don't Know What It's Like. And then they started getting into Blue Eyed Soul with You Don't Know What It's Like and all that stuff. So, Bee Gees all day.
But by the time we get to this, we can all agree this was not the high point of the Bee Gees recording career.
I still kind of like this stuff.
It is. It's not my favorite.
And fuck that skank.
So no one's saying Madonna. There's no...
I love it when the Filipino bands on the cruise ships do this song. Staying alive. You know, that's it.
So we actually, by my seating, this is an upset that I thought Madonna probably more popular.
In terms of her stature and her ability to sell records and her ability to do Kabbalah and preach to everybody.
Yeah, I wouldn't walk across the street to see Madonna.
Marry overrated English directors. But that why don't you take a cross and shove it up your cunt?
All right.
You no talent. All right,
so Madonna, not a fan.
Sorry,
Corey,
she's a talent, but Madonna enough. Fan. Best boobs, though, in rock and roll. I'll give Madonna. Okay. Her boobs are spectacular.
Yeah, you guys already did a tit show. Where was I for that one?
All right.
Well, let's move on. Speaking of tits, I think this is the tits. To me, this nothing sounds better than this to me. Born to Run, Bruce Springsteen, probably my favorite album of all time by anybody. And this is one of the all-time great singles. What more can I say? Just listen, kids. Listen how good this is. Taking his singer-songwriter influence, mashing it with Phil Spector, Wall of Sound production. It doesn't get much better than Born to Run, in my opinion. He's a number 2 seed, but he's up against one of rock and roll's pioneers, one of the innovators.
1, 2, 3 o'clock,
Bill Haley.
Rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11,
and look, Bill. One of the great things about Bill Haley, and I saw this as I was picking out what song to play. I don't know how old Bill Haley was, but he looks like he's about 60 years old in the 1950s singing this. He's all sweaty. He was hardly a teen
Everybody
idol.
Looked old in the 50s,
right? But he was. You know what I mean? He was like. Like, but he wasn't, you know, some of those guys like Buddy Holly and them, they look kind of youthful and Richie Valens. But he looked like this fat, sweaty old guy up there playing his guitar. And,
you know,
I look at all these old TV shows from the 50s, you know, and I'm older than they were when they recorded the show, and they still look old to me.
Yeah, they're just like, there is something.
I can't be older than these people.
No, 40s and 50s old is old. I mean, because they started smoking when they were 9.
Exactly.
And people were dropping dead in their 50s.
They worked in coal mines and stuff.
So anyone wanted, I mean, I got to pick Bruce. Everybody knows if you know me. Corey, any dissension?
Bill Haley was from Highland Park, by the way.
Oh, was he really?
Born in Highland Park.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Bill Haley, I mean, what do they got? See You Later, Alligator, this.
Yeah,
And what? Shake, Rattle, and Roll?
Shake, Rattle, and Roll, yeah.
So I don't know how much credit to give Bill Haley, because I don't know if any of this was his idea, or somebody said, hey, we got this song, we want you to do it.
Yeah.
I think he had kind of a rockabilly swing band, and somebody said, hey, why don't you
record this song?
So, I mean, this is actually kind of, I still enjoy this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll go with Springsteen.
Exactly. Let's go with Bruce. And now we're bound to the next quarter final here. The next round here. A number 1 seed, of course.
Is this the East Regional? What is this?
I don't know what regional you call this, but this is the number 1 seed in this region. The Rolling Stones with Satisfaction. Certainly going to be a lot of people's favorite rock band, if you ask them. And for the purposes of this debate, let's put them up. What number 16 seed jobber will go up against the Rolling Stones and get crushed? It's the pride of Long Island, New York. Although, I'll tell you, when I listen to both of these side by side, I think I like this better than Satisfaction, but this is Moving Out. Anthony's Song by Billy Joel.
And I was at the Billy Joel Elton John concert a couple years ago.
Yeah.
and Billy Joel outplayed Elton John.
He does.
You wouldn't believe.
Elton John, I think, is very lazy as a live act. Yes.
Billy Joel stole the show.
Yeah, Billy Joel's very good. He still gives it his all alive. And so, but is anyone going to pick against the Stones? Anyone?
No, you can't.
You can't, Corey.
Well, you know, this does sound better.
It does.
I'll tell you what. At you could not have told me at 16 that I would ever do anything but hate Billy Joel.
Yeah.
I thought Billy Joel was a thought crime against America. And now it's kind of okay.
The Billy Joel went off the rails in the 80s at a certain point in the late 80s. But this is very good. This his 70s stuff is very good. I like
actually,
this.
I think I liked him when I was, you know, like late, you know, when I was younger.
Yeah.
Then when I was a teenager, I was like, screw that.
Fuck all that, yeah.
And now,
for pussies.
Now it's kind of okay.
Yeah. All right, well, Billy, nice.
If I was a roofer in Trenton, New Jersey, I would probably vote Billy Joel all day long.
Well, you're not, so.
Hang in there.
Yeah. Now, again.
Anything can happen.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah.
Believe
this
me.
Podcast ain't paying the bills, so.
Believe me, is that a union job? Because I might take it.
All right, let's go to next up. Again, a number 8 against the number 9. Always a tough decision. Here's your 8. More pop. From Sweden, ABBA. One of the all-time top-selling acts of all time, ABBA.
Yeah.
And this is also one of the acts that never would reunite. They'll never take the money, they say. They'll never get back together. So, been offered, I've heard they've been offered tens, if not hundreds of millions, to reunite, and not interested. So,
well, I'll tell you how I feel. I'd give you a dollar to turn that off right now.
Well, in case I will, I'll tell you who they're competing against. And of course, these guys, some of the great 60s singer-songwriters, Simon and Garfunkel. Now, I have ABBA as the 8 seed and Simon and Garfunkel as the 9. And believe me, I was moving Simon and Garfunkel all over the board to try to figure out, you know, where they rank. Because to me, these guys kind of came and went. Their influence, I mean, they're kind of just doing the Everly Brothers. So they weren't even that original. But the music's great that they made together. They didn't last all that long.
But I read a couple of biographies from other artists that credit these guys. And the Bookends album is their biggest influence in music, so I had to go with these guys.
On my individual bracket, I'm not even sure who I voted for. I went with Simon and Garfunkel, but I actually wrote down ABBA first and then rethought it and crossed it off. Corey,
no doubt about it, S&G.
You're saying Simon and Garfunkel. We'll go with Simon and Garfunkel, but
I could have made an argument for Paul Simon as a solo act.
Sure. Well, again, I didn't want to include him as a solo act, and I thought Simon and Garfunkel casting a bigger shadow than Paul Simon solo.
Well, just Art's hair cast a bigger shadow.
There you go.
Boy in the Bubble, Late in the Evening, great tune.
Yeah, there's some good Paul Simon solo stuff, but
Art Garfunkel, one of the, you know, Paul wrote all the songs, but Art had one of the best voices.
Yeah, he brought them to life in a way that Paul couldn't alone.
And he had an afro for a white guy, which made them, you know, crossover.
And he was in some good movies.
He was
Carnal Knowledge.
Yeah, good movies too, so. Yeah. All right, well, let's move on next. One of the legends came out of the late 60s, but really more famous in the 70s. Rock and Roll's chameleon, David Bowie. And David Bowie, I think he has a tough matchup here. He's a 4 seed. It's, of course, Rebel Rebel. And let's hear who his opponent is at the 13 seed. Now, Hildebrand, I'm trying to read Hildebrand on this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look at him. It's a sweet, sweet Judy Blue Eyes by Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And, of course, these guys are in for this.
I never bought a David Bowie song.
Okay.
All right, so he's off the charts. I did buy a Crosby, Stills, and Nash for Marrakesh Express.
Okay.
It was a 45. I didn't go for the album.
See, I figured this is right up your alley.
I never cared for this.
So you're a Crosby, Stills, and Nash guy.
Yeah, I went them, but just by a slim margin.
Corey, let's go to you. I think there's no doubt who you're picking.
Bowie.
Corey's a Bowie guy. He's saying Bowie all the way. And I'll tell you, listen to it back and forth. Here's really, to me, what decided this one. There's way more good David Bowie songs than good Crosby, Stills, and Nash songs.
Albums and albums.
And I think this song might be better than the one I played from Bowie just now, but for body of work longevity.
The other thing about Bowie, and this will come up again, I'm sure, this room.
Yeah.
One song does not encapsulate the guy's sound.
Right. Yeah,
he had a variety.
Chameleon, like I said, yeah. So we're going with Bowie, 2-1. Sorry, Hildebrand. All right, moving on.
All right, Major Tom.
Oh, that's this got to take you back.
Now,
how many joints did you smoke to this, Bill?
This is my favorite Cream tune.
All right.
Of all time.
Good. Great song.
When I hear this on the radio, it's
Eric Clapton, Jack Bruce, Ginger Baker, The Sunshine of Your Love.
Yeah.
Actually, this is White Worm. I'm sorry.
White Yeah, I love
Even
this
I got
song.
It wrong. Yeah, I love this.
This was a great album. The album this came off of was it?
Disraeli Gears?
Yeah,
is
yeah,
that
a
yeah.
ton of stuff on it.
Yeah.
Crossroads and all sorts of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, a lot. One of the great, probably the best three-piece band of all time, perhaps.
And this is when the wah-wah pedal came out, you know, and people were just nuts about
this
that
is,
new sound.
And this is the only place you're going to find Clapton in the tournament, because I thought this was his greatest work was done with Cream. But he's got an opponent here, and again, a rock and roll pioneer, as always. And this guy, because I just read this new biography about and said, without a question, the number one influence on the Beatles was Buddy Holly and the Crickets. That's how they got their name, was derived from the Crickets, and the sound and the vocal and John Lennon. They all just wanted to be Buddy Holly. Buddy Holly, certainly a legend, died too young, might have gone on to make great music in the 60s. Who knows?
Yeah.
He didn't live that long to get there, so... Corey, I'll let you vote first on this.
Give me the man from Texas.
Oh,
give me Buddy Holly.
You're not going for? Oh, interesting. All right. So we have
No, because exactly what you just said. Now,
yeah.
These both have a limited body of work.
Yeah.
Cream and Ginger Baker, Jack Bruce, Eric Clapton, fabulous.
Yeah.
Incredible musicianship, great bands, and but they had what? What one album before they?
I think they
up?
Made two records. Or
it
yeah,
Israeli
yeah.
Gears, and then with more so, Cream or something.
Yeah.
So two albums. All right. Okay. And Buddy Holly, you know, died early.
Right. Cream has reunited recently and toured and stuff. So,
But it's not like I make that with any glee.
Yeah.
Because I think Cream was good. But,
sure.
I think there were other bands that, you know.
So Corey's picking upset here. Bill, I think you pretty much said you're a fan of
yeah.
Cream, and there's
yep.
no doubt on that.
I creamed on this one.
All right. I guess I'm the deciding vote, and I'm actually going to check my bracket here. And I also went with Cream.
Okay.
Again, had Buddy Holly lived. Might have been one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
As it stands, he's more of an early influence. So I'm with Cream on this one. All right. Well, let's go down to number three.
From Lubbock.
And the pride of Detroit here at the number three seed in this bracket. Now, I picked this song. Maybe not his best-known song, but this is probably my favorite old Stevie Wonder Motown number. I Was Made to Love Her. I mean, how great does this sound?
Oh, this is great stuff.
Yes, fantastic. Yeah.
There's a Beach Boys cover of this that Janis did.
Oh, yeah?
Which I like, but when you hear this, you're like, wow, that sucks.
Yeah. Stevie was it, man. I mean, one of the most talented guys.
I wish you'd have picked something off the Inner Visions album. You know?
Well, that was the thing. I could have went with some 70s Stevie, but I went with Motown.
I was born in Hard Time, Mississippi. I mean, what a great song.
Corey was made to eat his 7-Eleven pizza. How was it?
That and his chicken and waffle Lay's chips.
God.
You're killing me over here.
Can you smell those? Is that... all right.
Oh, that's well, what I smell. All right.
Stevie's competing against... the 1970s, if you were around for punk rock, these guys came out a revelation. Power punk of the Ramones from the Lower East Side of New York City. The sound of CBGB.
Never did anything for me.
No. Well, Bill, it sounds like he's voting for Stevie. Corey,
yep.
I can see you going... in fact, I'll vote... go ahead. Well, actually, I think I'm with Bill. I think I go Stevie on this one. So
This was the hardest match in the whole tournament for me.
Because Ramones, hugely influential. Gigantically influential.
I saw both of these acts live.
Yeah.
Okay. Love them both.
Yeah.
Obviously, Stevie Wonder, an unparalleled stratospheric genius. The Ramones, to me, I'd rather hear every day.
Would you?
I mean, not every day. I might want to hear some Sir Duke.
Ramones really only have about five good songs, but...
That's all they did. They only did, like,
and
five
they,
songs.
They all sound the same, guy.
Fucking genius.
All right.
Come on.
Well, you're outvoted
hey
here.
Hey, little girl, I want to be your boyfriend?
Yeah. See, I should have let you vote next, and then I
Carbona, not glue?
Decided. Look, I love the Ramones, too, for what... More maybe for what they represent than really... That they were some great band, because I think there was way better late 70s and early 80s, you know, punk bands. But
I don't know about way better, but
I mean, just in terms of the musicality and that, the Ramones very limited.
I went, you know, in that case, I went over the, you know, in the Beastie Boys thing, I decided Elton was better technically.
Yeah, sure.
This one, I went with my heart. I love Stevie Wonder. I'm happy he wins.
I do too. All right. Stevie wins. Next up, let's take you from New York to the West Coast. Boy, if you were around when this came out, man.
This was big.
This was a kick in the ass right here, man. When this song came out, when this album, Appetite for Destruction, came out. Yeah. Guns N' Roses, it was Sweet Child of Mine. I have Guns N' Roses as a 6 seed. I think when you're talking about 80s hair metal or West Coast or rock.
No, Guns N' Roses.
They're no Bullet Boys.
Isn't that a flower shop on 8 Mile?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Guns N' Roses are kind of a laughing stock now because they split up and Axl Rose fired everybody and reconstituted a new Guns N' Roses. But shit, this sounds fucking amazing, I think. I think this is
a great tune.
Great song. But they're up again.
I'll tell you, this album rocked my high school with a fury.
Yeah.
Was this your booby squeezing tune? Was it?
I squeezed a couple of titties I shouldn't have been squeezing.
This album was the number one thing we would play at wrestling practice. We had a jam box. We put on Appetite for Destruction on cassette and, you know, plow through our workouts, man. It was fantastic. So.
Going back to your titty squeezing thing, the girls that let you squeeze their titties to this were the girls you shouldn't have been squeezing the titties of.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think in
they
that
the,
case,
the same girls that were squeezing out babies not long after that.
Oh, that's utterly true. Yeah. And they weren't my babies.
Well, let's see who they're up against. We'll stay on the West Coast, but we'll go 2 decades earlier. I mean, how great does the opener of the song sound? I mean, it'd be amazing, the opener of the song. Mr. Tambourine Man, Dylan cover by the legendary Byrds. And, boy, I'll tell you, to me, I'm looking at you guys going, how are you going to vote? So I'm going to vote first on this one. The Byrds sound great. I love it. They had a great sound that even the Beatles themselves sort of took and put that into the Revolver album. But for me, nothing, just from a pure, like, animalistic, you know, sonic quality, I got to go with Guns N' Roses.
All right.
I actually, no doubt.
You got to take a look at the people that came out of the Byrds.
Okay, yeah.
And that's kind of what I was
looking okay.
At.
So actually, I do have David Crosby twice now, then, don't I? So
yeah.
I guess my own rule didn't apply. But.
Well, Neil Young, we're going to get to him.
Okay, yeah. So, Bill, go ahead.
I did the Byrds, man.
So we have one vote for Guns N' Roses, one for the Byrds. Corey, let me look at Corey and try to read your face on this one.
He's
not that into the Byrds. Just looking at him. I think Corey loves that West Coast pop from the 60s, but I'm guessing you're going Guns N' Roses,
I
Corey.
I went with Roger McGuinn and company.
Did you really,
with the Birds.
That shows how well I know you.
You know what? Upset. No, you know why? Because
Racket Buster, the Birds.
I do think the Birds sound dated.
Yeah.
And
they do.
Okay, obviously any band from 50 years ago is going to sound dated.
Sure.
But these guys sound really very specifically 1967.
Absolutely.
But they also did Sweetheart of the Rodeo
with
Graham Parsons. God, this is going to get the most nerdy I've ever gotten on this show. So, you know, they got into that whole country rock thing, which I love, Mike Nesmith and all that stuff. So, I had to go with the Byrds.
Interesting, because I had you as the Byrds, and then I thought the other way. So
GNR, I'm telling you, look, if I was in eighth grade or ninth grade or whatever, GNR would have been huge.
Well, I think I've been in lockstep with all of our picks up to right now. So I'm.
And last year, I got a guess that neither one of you saw Michael Nesmith at the Magic
I
Bag.
Did.
He
did
went.
You?
Yeah.
How was it?
I hated it.
I was on a boat. We talked about it on the show.
He hated
what,
it.
Really, he had this like. I didn't like his band.
Okay.
And he started with like Papa Jean's Blues, and I was excited.
Yeah.
And then he played a lot of his like mediocre stuff from the mid '70s, and I just
I wanted to be there so.
Yeah, I know, it was so cool to see him, and somebody brought the Monkey Mobile. And it was cool, and then he realized he's not going to be doing. He did like 2 Monkey songs.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, that's not what I wanted to hear either. You know, he's got that great video, Elephant Parts. Have you ever seen that? There's
Rio.
Some great.
I mean,
songs
I could get into Nesmith, but he's not on the list. All right.
Now, Mike, the Monkees collectively aren't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and certainly as solo artists, they're not going to be in the Rock and Roll.
I love the Monkees too. That's another one.
I do like the Monkees, and I would like to see the Monkees included because even though they weren't, you know, great songwriters or great musicians, what they put together under their banner, I think, is some of the best music.
And Mike Nesmith's first national band, which is he did right after the Monkees, was a huge also into that whole country rock thing, the Flying Burrito Brothers.
Well, let's
all right, nerding out.
Let's get rid of this country rock and
getting deep.
All right, Bill. Now, I want you to don't break anything. I'm worried what Hildebrandt's. Actually, I think maybe this might be the first time Hildebrandt's ever heard this song. I'm not sure.
No.
Metallica with Enter Sandman. Now, I have this as a number four. What are they? Number seven.
Seven.
Metallica, because when you talk about this genre of metal, this might be the only band from that genre of metal that I even like.
I know this song, Joel, because this is one of the greatest titty bar tunes of all time.
Yeah, that's true.
I now, can't you don't, tell you, you don't, how many pole dancers I've seen.
You actually mash a titty to this. You don't just grab a titty. You grab it aggressively.
And I've personally seen Metallica live, I think, two times, maybe three times. So,
did you see them with GNR?
I saw the Metallica Guns N' Roses and Faith No More tour at the Pontiac Silverdome. I did see that. Then I also saw Monsters of Rock in 88, which Metallica was very low on the bill with the Scorpions, Dokken, Van Halen. It was quite the show. But let's hear who... Now, what titan of rock and roll could take down the mighty Metallica? What monster who is... done nothing but rape the children of the world could do that? It's Little Richard! I'm about to tell you, listen
up!
You know, I had to put, when I was putting together all this music, you know, for this, you know, there is something. If I was a dad and I had a daughter in the late 50s and she brought home a record of this and she put this on and I saw a picture of that guy, I would have been scared for her life, you know? Because he was a wild man,
Little
Richard.
He knows what to do. This is all about fucking.
It is.
Little Richard, and ironically for a gay man, actually, I think Richard was kind of an opportunist.
Well, you know, in this new Beatles biography called All These Years by Mark Lewisohn, they go into pretty good detail that he would, if you wanted, you know, they were big fans of Little Richard, and when the Beatles met him in Hamburg, he would sign photos and include his home address. Because he wanted, when you go to L.A., you got to stay with Little Richard, because he thought, you know, he thought the Beatles were gorgeous, especially John Lennon, and really had a thing for him. So he was Tootie and Fruity. And
Fred Willard has an amazing story. He said he met Little Richard doing the Tom Jones show, and they went back to Richard's like suite in Vegas and with Tom Jones, and they all got drunk. And Richard had a coffee table book of vaginas. Just like close-up pictures of vaginas. I'm like, that would have been the greatest thing in the world to hang out with Tom Jones and Little Richard.
Little Richard, certainly one of the great characters in rock and roll. You know, only recorded about four songs that are worth a shit, but, you know, and they all kind of sound the same, but certainly a giant influence on everybody. You want to vote first, Bill?
Well, what I did, and out there in podcast land, don't take this the wrong way.
Yeah.
But on some of these picks here, it kind of worked out. I'm doing kind of an Academy Award thing where I'm going, you got to go with the black guy. So I gave it to Little Richard.
All right, Little Richard is Bill's pick. Corey, any...
Well, I realized what this list is making me realize, again, I really don't like metal.
Okay.
So it's going to be... And there would not be a Beatles without Little Richard. Another huge influence on Paul McCartney.
All right.
Little Richard it is.
Well, you know what? It's going to be 3-3, and it's an upset, according to my bracket. But Little Richard is going forward because...
You know what? We just lost Downriver. Anybody Downriver just fucking threw their phone at the wall or
anyone who
kicked over their speakers and went, bullshit!
So wait a minute. You're saying there's Camaro...
Bullshit!
There's Camaros with iPods flying out the window right now because they've heard us pick
Dude,
Little
if
Richard.
James Hetfield hears that, he's going to stomp your ass.
James Hetfield would kick Little Richard's faggot ass all over the stage.
All right.
But Little Richard in his day was dangerous. It was exciting.
That music is what, 60 years old now?
Yeah.
And we're all sitting here. We're all sitting here going, grooving.
Yeah, we're all bobbing our heads for Little Richard.
I've got the Georgia Peach, which is his like hits collection.
Yeah.
On my iPod forever.
Right.
That's good. Metallica, if you're over 14, you're done.
And there's Metallica stuff I like. And like I said, I've seen them live. They're a great live band. But to me, that shit gets old, whereas Little Richard...
Yeah, I'll grow it.
I feel like, you know... And look, no one's making you choose in the real world between Little Richard and Metallica. This is purely for fantasy purposes.
Only Joel would do this.
Only Joel would do that to you, but... well, here's one that... I'll tell you what, this one's going to be hard to actually fade down and go to the next one. The number two seed in this bracket. One of the all-time greats in folk, rock... Even country music, Bob Dylan, Like a Rolling Stone, one of the great rock and roll songs of all time. Do you know the story about, did you ever see that documentary that Scorsese did on Dylan?
No.
Because they talk about how, you know, Al Cooper is the guy playing the Hammond on this, the organ.
Okay.
And the song is sort of known. One of the hallmarks of the song is that the Hammond comes in a beat after the rest of them. If you notice that, they all change and then the Hammond kind of comes in. And Al Cooper says, he's like, I was a guitar player and I'm in this Dylan session and all the guitar players are better than me. So they said, well, you can go play that organ. And he goes, all right. So I go over to the organ and I'm listening to hear where everyone's going. So he's coming in later because he's
waiting to see what chord they play.
Yeah. So that's why the organ comes in late. And when Dylan listened back to the mix, he's going, oh, who's playing that organ, man? Turn that up. So that's how it became sort of the sound of this song. And it's kind of a great story. And, you know, Bob Dylan has recorded, what now, 40, 50 albums probably?
Yeah.
Still doing shows. Kind of a terrible live act. I saw him live once, but...
this is one of the oddest matchups.
It is,
on
yeah. Well,
sheet.
Let's tell you who
let's
is
go
up
to
against.
Number 50.
Because I think Bill's
because I
want to
hear
torn.
What song you picked for this.
You're not... Well, this the next band. Okay, the next band, there's a lot of different ways. These guys change their style a lot. I went right for the middle with these guys, Bill. I went right to the middle.
Yeah.
All right, this is Genesis. I picked Abacab, which is, I think, the first record that Phil Collins
and
made.
And my least favorite, too.
All right, well, listen. But this has the heavy keyboard. It's a little proggy. It's,
yeah.
It's poppy, but it's got prog. It's got rock. And I'll tell you what, I haven't listened to Genesis. I used to really be into Genesis when I was like in high school. And this sounds good to me. Doesn't sound like a Rolling Stone, but I like this. Corey, any thoughts on Genesis?
Hate him.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I like Peter Gabriel.
Yeah. And that's what Bill's going to say, is that was the better era, right?
Well, yeah.
And I like Peter Gabriel as a solo act. Phil Collins, to me, is right up there with the Eagles.
Well,
if I was running show business,
yeah.
And I had like an SS,
yeah.
I'd round him up first.
You could argue
I'd
that,
make yeah. an example of Phil okay. Collins.
Peter Gabriel is in as a solo act and also as a member of Genesis. I only included Genesis. I picked the Phil Collins song, but you can vote based on the whole body of work. So, Bill, I'm going to let you vote first on this.
No, I went with Bob Dylan.
He went with Dylan. Corey is a Dylan guy.
Give me Bob.
As much as I love Genesis.
You do?
And I've never bought a Dylan album, and I've bought... A couple of Genesis albums.
Right. I own every Dylan album up the planet.
But Genesis, you know, they went off the rails too. They're one of those groups
yeah,
that just
yeah.
kind of like went.
Yeah, the 80s Genesis was not good. But
crazy. Lamb Lights Down on Broadway. What kind of crap is
all
that?
All right. So I think we're unanimous in picking Bob Dylan. So we're halfway through the first round. Let's go up to the number one seed on the top right of your scorecard if you're getting home. Of course, Hard Day's Night by the Beatles. Now, when you're picking a Beatles song to represent their whole body of work, I just went with this one. And the Beatles are one of those bands where you just go, I could have picked 50 songs, and they'd all sound great. But this is the classic British Invasion sound of the Beatles.
Hard Day's Night is my third favorite Beatles album.
Okay, there you go.
It's the most consistently enjoyable,
it's their
probably.
Best.
What's your first?
Revolver.
All right.
Yeah.
But this would be, I would say, like... From just top to bottom, Hard Day's Night is the most fun.
This is their best early rock and roll album, I'd say. For me, I think I go Rubber Soul, Abbey Road, then probably Revolver. I don't know. I'm all over the place. I love
why
the Beatles.
Why are you avoiding Sgt. Pepper? Seems like you're dancing around
I'll
it.
Tell you why I don't like Sgt. Pepper is because the songs aren't as good. Production's amazing. There's some innovative stuff. But to me, the songwriting was a step down on that album.
Wow.
I mean, for the benefit of Mr. Kite and some of those.
There's a
good morning, good morning.
Tunes,
there's not
but
a couple.
Come on,
John,
Lovely Rita Mittermaid and A Day in the Life.
No, there's
come
some
on.
There's some great stuff on Sgt.
Pepper's
Pepper.
Great, but it's probably fourth or fifth.
And it probably right. sounds the most dated of anything that they did too. But okay, the Beatles. Now, who could possibly compete against the Beatles? Who could possibly? Who could possibly take on the Beatles? Who would I pick to be the sacrificial?
I wouldn't
man?
Know this guy if I saw him in the street.
Right out of Hollis, Queens. Now, Corey, I know. I think you're a fan of this, probably more than me and Bill are.
You know.
Yeah, well, certainly.
I liked it at the time.
Hugely sure. influential in the world of hip-hop, and you could argue, you know, maybe hip-hop first superstar. Run DMC.
That's definitely true.
Yeah. And certainly when you look at, like, the Rick Rubin production.
And they teamed up with Aerosmith.
And they teamed up with Aerosmith. Certainly, Run DMC, they're in the
Rick
Rock and Rubin. Roll Hall of Fame.
You can produce my rock and roll record.
That's Wesley Willis.
So, anyone want to vote for anything but the Beatles? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Give me Rev Run.
No, no, I'm kidding.
If I brought Mike Lundy in, though, who would he vote for?
Oh, that's a good... Mike would vote for the Beatles. I mean, he's smart enough to know. You know what? I own some Public Enemy records.
Yeah.
I do not own any.
You don't own any Run DMC, yeah. Run DMC, though, to me, brought more of a melodic sound to hip-hop as opposed to, like,
Which
Public Enemy.
Which is funny because you hear this, and this sounds... Very basic.
It does, yeah.
Early hip hop is very da 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 yeah. da 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 da.
Yeah, this is a lot different.
It is. It is.
Public Enemy
is
harder edge.
All right.
But, you know.
And again, I think next up we have a very tough match, tough matchup because it's a number 8 against a number 9. The number 8 certainly hugely influential. And while I think the Sex Pistols were the more shocking punk band, I think musically this was probably the best of the punk bands. It's the Clash. Hard to pick a Clash song that sums up their whole career, but maybe this is their most famous, from their most famous album anyway, London Calling. And they're up against the 9 seed, who, again, a guy who could have been in under many different guises, but he's in as his own solo work. Also hard to pick one song that sums up his career, but I went with this one, Southern Man. It's Neil Young at number 9 against the Clash at number 8. You know, Neil Young's not a guy that I've ever been a huge fan of, but I liked the songs, I liked the singles. Clash may be more influential? Is that safe to say, Corey?
No.
No.
No, Neil Young.
Says the old fart. Corey, as a guy with...
I went with the Clash, but Neil Young is more influential, probably.
Sure.
I went with Neil Young.
Well, so we have one vote for the Clash, one vote for Neil Young.
You know,
I actually...
The Clash are what made pop punk.
Yeah.
They made
punk pop, yeah.
Punk, well, Green Day,
yeah,
all that
right.
shit would not have... That
you know, I have to look at my ballot because I don't even remember who I voted for on this one. But I did vote for what you're hearing right now. I did vote for Neil Young. I think I went with maybe Neil Young has more really good songs than The Clash. The Clash starts to get a little janky, some of their
London
stuff.
London Calling is a perfect record. There's not a lot of albums, I say, when you're talking about the Beatles.
Yeah.
Like Revolver and Hard Day's Night
right.
or Rubber Soul, probably. But... yeah, I went with the Clash.
I'll tell you, this whole bracket is tough because what we're about to hear.
I mean, I like Neil Young. Russ Never Sleeps.
Yeah, right.
And all that shit. I mean,
sure.
You know,
some of the ballads,
Harvest.
Great ballads by Neil Young. Only
Harvest,
Love Can
yeah,
Break Your Heart
sure.
and Harvest Moon, and that's what great stuff. So.
Yeah,
it was a tough pick, but again, maybe a little more diversity in the sounds from Neil Young, and longevity certainly goes to him.
I don't know how Neil Young was a 9 seed. That's kind of a tough matchup.
Well, you know, it was tough to seed these. I'll tell you, it was tough. So. All right, let's move on to the next pickup. Again, what a tough bracket, because when you get to this, Purple Haze, Jimi Hendrix Experience. Now, look, this is amazing. We'll all agree on this. But when I said earlier, I forget who I was talking about, when I said when there's guys who have bad taste in music, often they have favorite acts. This is one of them, I think. Like, you'll meet guys with no taste in music, but who love Jimi Hendrix. And they think the Beatles suck ass, and they could give a fuck about Bob Dylan. But Hendrix is the greatest thing ever. So.
Well, this guy changed the way guitars were played forever.
He did, yeah.
He was the first one to say, you know, you can bend these strings.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Certainly this sounds good, and then you come up to a more contemporary sound, I guess. Only less than 10 years later, we came up with this Southern Rock from Florida, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Certainly had a great career, a lot of longevity there. I saw many Tom Petty concerts and enjoyed them all, I gotta tell you. Look, certainly this didn't break any ground.
No.
Not at all.
No.
You know, you could argue that Springsteen did everything these guys did 10 times better. You could argue that the Allman Brothers did the Southern thing 10 times better. But yet still, a lot of people love Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and I'm in that group, so... if it's up to me, I'm going with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Bill?
Oh, Hendrix.
Bill is a Hendrix guy. Well, that's
influence.
In your wheelhouse.
Influence, man.
Influence.
He changed the way people play guitars.
Now, I see Corey fiercely. I don't know if you're Googling.
I believe that Hendrix is kind of like Michael Jordan.
Okay.
He might have been an influence, but people couldn't do what he did.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Hendrix was such a talent.
that guys couldn't copy what he did effectively.
All right.
I still went with him, but yeah. I'm indifferent to Paul Tom Petty. I am the soul of indifference to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Me too. Yeah.
Anything Southern Corey almost uniformly rejects.
I'm sorry, I like the band that has a
they're from Canada, yeah, except for Levon is from Alabama. But
you know, I never really think of Tom Petty as that Southern.
Well, it has sort of more of an urban rock sound, but you're going.
I just think of Tom Petty as AOR rock and roll.
Okay.
I mean, it's, you know what I mean? It's like FM radio from the late 70s. I'm just the soul of indifference. Here.
I just think Jimmy, again, not unlike Buddy Holly, if Jimmy would have lived, yeah. I think he would have gone on to maybe dropping a lot of the histrionics and playing more soulful guitar, which I think would have made him, to me, maybe I would have enjoyed that more than the crazy psychedelic stuff.
Now, this is what you hear on the middle of the road stations when you're driving in a car and there's nothing else to listen to.
It's boredom. I don't know. I just don't.
Well, that's what I want this podcast to be, something you just listen to in the middle
of
the time.
Well, I do like Tom Petty's show on Sirius.
Okay.
Where he plays all his influences, and then I go, how come you didn't do that?
He was very he was very influenced by the Birds. Very influenced by the Birds, so. All right, well, let's move on. I went with Petty, but I'm getting outvoted, so we'll move on here to, again, when you talk about the 70s, I mean, this band certainly had a unique sound. Really, nobody quite like Queen. And hard to pick a song that really represents Queen, too. But I went with Killer Queen. Certainly, technically, the playing, singing, almost as good as it gets. The melody, fantastic.
And the production on this, the way they recorded it, you know, was there was a lot of groundbreaking stuff here. So, yeah. Just put them on the map. It was a great tune.
Yeah. And certainly a band that I think is pretentious in its own way, as Queen was. And, Corey, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this because I put them in as a 12 seed, and if influence alone was enough to win you around, they'd win this one. But the Velvet Underground. See, Corey loves Velvet Underground. But do you really think, in the scheme of things, more good songs by Queen or by Velvet Underground?
The VU is a juggernaut of influence on anything else I like.
Okay.
Anything else I like came out of this.
All right.
From this point forward, everything I liked came from this, including David Bowie, including Iggy Pop, who were all friends of Lou Reed. So, to me, this is like a weird matchup because you've got the best technical team in the world.
Right.
Queen is unparalleled in technique and skill, and the VU are... Barely listen to Mo Tucker. She's fucking clanging around there.
Yeah,
like I love the VU.
I think Velvet Underground made it where, you know, they were one of those groups where everyone wanted to form a rock band after they heard Velvet Underground because they said if they can do it, we can do it. They were very do it yourself garage sound. Put some guys together, bang on the instruments, make it sound good.
Yeah, you don't even have Nico on here with her incredible off-key German
bass. I'm getting outvoted here.
Well, Corey, no, I'm going for Queen.
I went for I'm doing.
So we have one vote each.
I'm doing the Motion Picture Academy thing here and going with the gay guy, Freddie Mercury.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say there's a lot of gay to go around in this one.
Queen.
Wow. Well, that blows my bracket.
Yeah, bracket buster, Corey. Well, I went with Queen, too. Again, I think more good Queen songs than more good Velvet Underground songs. For influence, I think you could argue it either way. Certainly, if you're talking about American indie rock, no bigger influence than Velvet Underground.
And I don't dislike Queen. I like Queen. Right. I mean, if you play a Queen song, 8 times out of 10, I'll probably like it.
I think internationally, Queen is recognized as even a bigger actor than they are in the States.
God damn, is Lou Reed the coolest thing ever.
He is, and it's sad that... I don't think we really did a proper Lou Reed eulogy, did we?
Did we? I don't remember.
I don't think we did. So.
Who knows?
It's too bad. All right, well, anyway...
Who knows what we waffle on about, whiffle on about.
Well, Lou is out of this tournament and out of life. So let's move on with... Now, again, when you have to pick one song from an artist, on this guy, I just went... I'm picking something that's not even in his top 20, and it's still amazing. The one and only, from Minneapolis, Prince. I mean, again, there's 20 Prince songs better than this, and yet this still is incredible. From the Purple Rain album. I mean, when you talk about who's the most single-talented motherfucker in this tournament, if it ain't Stevie Wonder, it's this guy. You know, if it's not Paul McCartney, it's Prince. Right? I mean, can anyone argue that?
Yeah.
All right, Bill, this might have come a little later. Bill was How old were you in 83 when this came out?
49 years old.
You're a dick.
All right, well, let's hear.
By the way, I can't believe this is what you picked.
Well, you know what? Because I couldn't. You know, here part of it is I wanted a song that gets right into it, and a lot of Prince songs have a big build up.
What about Kiss?
Dearly beloved, we are brother here today. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Kiss it gets going, but I.
Oh, Raspberry Parade.
Yeah, see, all right.
Well,
let's hear who else you could vote for.
I would say nobody on this list makes white women's panties wetter than Prince.
Than Prince, yeah, I agree. Here we go. They are up against. This song probably came out maybe the same year or a year after the one we just heard from Prince. From Athens, Georgia, it's R.E.M. And again, you want to follow a line from Velvet Underground. It's going to go through Straight Athens through, yeah. and R.E.M. to give you the college rock of the 80s. But look, R.E.M., I'm old enough to have been around when R.E.M. hit, and I kind of never got it. There is R.E.M. music that I like a lot. This would be one of those songs. But to me, nothing beats Prince. Corey, I don't know what Bill's... Should we go to Bill next? Bill?
I put Prince down.
You put Prince down.
Only because I went with the black guy again. Because I don't care for either one of these bands.
All right, it's two votes for Prince.
I never cared for R.E.M.
No. Corey, I don't even know who you'd pick.
So I put Prince.
All right.
This is another one where I had to vote for the guy I know is better in my mind, but I like R.E.M.
Yeah.
Although, I was just talking the other day, it's not a band I go back to a lot.
No. It's R.E.M. sounds dated to me in a lot of ways.
And this was a massive band in the early 90s.
Yeah, early
90s. Huge. These were the college rock titans. These were the biggest.
Yeah, it was U2 and R.E.M., the biggest acts of the 80s.
These are like a what we call a comic.
Yeah.
All the vinyl heads and all the rock critics loved R.E.M. in the 80s. And in the 90s, they were big. I loved R.E.M., had a lot of their albums. Mm-hmm. I met Michael Stipe.
Okay.
I still got to go with this Purple Badness.
All right. Prince. Our number 3 seed moves ahead. Now,
that hurt me. That was another tough match. That was like...
Well, I'll tell you, this next one...
That was like Stevie and the Ramones. Yeah. That hurt my feelings.
Well, the next one was incredibly difficult for me to decide. And I mean, how can you vote against this? Just this opening riff? If you had to pick the greatest riff in rock and roll... I mean, this is about as good as it gets. Black and Black, Back in Black by AC/DC. I had AC/DC as a 6th seed in the tournament. I mean, certainly this album, one of rock and roll's great albums. And I had this when it came out. I'm old enough to have had this. I think my mom bought this for me on 8-track. And you know what? They had to like cut the songs in half on the 8-track. You know how that was, Bill.
Your mom bought you AC/DC?
My mom bought me AC/DC in 80.
Gee, Joel, here's a good influence for you. Listen to this, you young punk.
Yeah.
How old were you when she bought it for you?
10, 9,
oh,
10,
yeah.
something like
oh,
that.
Oh, that's marvelous.
That's how I turned out.
What's AC/DC mean, Mom? What's that?
Alternating current direction, no?
Yeah.
All right.
Perfect.
Well, this sounds great. And Corey, I know, and I was certainly, when I had to pick one song to represent this next act, I think I went with what maybe made them, because they certainly did a lot of hard rock stuff.
You picked the worst one.
I was going to pick You Really Got Me, but I went.
Well respected man.
I went with maybe what, you know, Ray Davies known as sort of the poet laureate of England in the 60s. And. The sound of the common man in England, though?
And he's oh so good. And he's oh so good.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to vote first.
Their worst.
And I saw the Kinks in concert, and it was fantastic. And I love
the
rocker. But to me, AC/DC is just primal and raw. And I can't... I love the Kinks, but I feel like other bands did what the Kinks do better. So my vote's for AC/DC. Corey?
You can take the boy out of the east side, but you can't take the east side out of the boy.
La, la, la,
and
no,
as we learned again, metal is for babies.
All right.
The Kinks are for men.
I love
give
the Kinks.
Give me Ray Davis and his younger brother. Give me the Kinks all day long. All take it to the bank.
That's one vote
Arthur,
for each.
Give me that album.
Corey,
give me a little
Bill.
Bit of Village Green Preservation Society. Give me the Kinks.
Calm down. This guy's out of control.
I went with the Kinks. Yeah.
I am outvoted
again.
Oh,
yeah. Went with
Listen, I love the Kinks. I wish.
Good. Everybody's getting back in their Camaros now in Dearborn going, all right.
Bullshit.
Everything's right with
this
the world.
Is bullshit.
All right. Come
Suddenly
on.
Suddenly, some guys fell off a roof.
Listen, the Kinks.
There were some guys putting shingles up, and it's like, bullshit, man. You know what? We just lost the Ford plant.
We did. The Ford plant.
They just went,
and
fuck
those guys
you.
Love us.
This is fucking bullshit.
The midnight shift at the Van Dyke Ford plant, those guys love us, and yet we've shit on AC/DC.
I didn't shit on them. I'll say this about AC/DC. They're one of the only bands that lost their lead singer and were just as good.
And they picked up a new guy who could do the job just as good.
Absolutely. So
right.
AC/DC's great. Don't get me wrong.
Who was the band that had the one-armed drummer? Who was that?
Def Leppard.
No, Def Leppard.
Not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it's going to stay that way, I think.
Oh,
so,
Jesus.
All right, let's move on.
And that is no slight on AC/DC. I think they're fine.
Right. Okay.
They're enjoyable. But the Kinks
are
better.
This is the next thing I'm going to tell you about right here. This next act. Our number 7 seed in this bracket. If you were a kid in 1982, as I was, nothing sounded better than this. This was the coolest thing that had ever been made in the history of music. Jamie's Crying by Van Halen. And I listened back to this the other day as I was putting this together, and I go, this still sounds like the coolest thing I've ever heard. I mean, this is just amazing. David Lee Roth, Edward Van Halen, Alex Van Halen, Michael Anthony. Who did 80s rock better than this?
Now that I'm listening to this, I think I might have screwed up.
Uh-oh. Well, let's hear who they're against. Now, listen, it was hard to pick the one to represent this guy, too, because he does a bunch of different styles. And there, I'm sure
this...
I'm sure
second most overplayed song.
I'm sure there's Van Morrison guys that hate me for picking this to represent Van, but...
Well, look, Brown Eyed Girl can never be heard again.
Well, it's that's why played, I didn't pick that
Brown
one.
Brown Eyed Girl has been played more than any song in the history of rock radio, right? I mean, is that the most...
This might be the only pick where I lose.
Yeah?
Because I've been with you right down the line.
Oh, have you? Okay.
All
right.
But I think I'm going to lose on this one.
Well, here's the thing. For me, Van Morrison... I think Van Morrison is one of those guys that a lot of pretentious idiots listen to, for one. I think it's overplayed as like bar music where somehow this is good to get drunk to. I don't get that at all. He didn't influence a lot of early Springsteen, and I hear that influence when I listen to Bruce, and he was great in The Last Waltz, but if in the Battle of the Vans, as we have here, I gotta go with Van Halen. I can't object in any way to that. Bill, it sounds like you
like
are...
Like I said, I put Van Morrison, but now that I'm listening to it, I might have screwed up.
Well, you know...
I got to stick with my first pick.
You're going Van Morrison.
Well, I'm a pretentious idiot because I went with Van Morrison.
All right.
Oh, the Pride of Ireland. You can't get a better album than Astral Weeks. You can't get a better album than Tupelo
Honey. I'm at 100%
honey.
Here so far.
You can. It's called Born to Run.
I'm at 100%. That was an iffy one.
Van Halen takes me back. Okay.
Okay.
I really thought about all these. The metal doesn't stay with me. The metal is like from an when I was like I'm saying, and you're I know every right. guy, again the Ford plant is like fuck you piece
okay,
of,
but
you fat tub of garbage. But I'm going to tell you, metal to me is the music of like if you're 15, you couldn't tell me anything better than Van Halen.
You're like a guy who's never washed a car, you've never mowed a lawn. You don't know what it's like on a Sunday afternoon to crank up Van Halen or Guns N' Roses and listen to that.
You know what? I'm sorry. I am a snob. East Side, Downriver, kiss my ass.
What about East Side?
Read a book. Van Morrison, amazing, incredible stuff. Just because Brown Eyed Girl got beat into the dirt, everybody thinks they kind of hate him.
Yeah.
But Tupelo Honey, great album.
Wow. Okay. All right. Here we go.
Moondance, a great album. This is on.
All right. Well, listen, here's what I'm going to say right now. I'm going to tell you about this next guy and what you're about to hear next. To me, this is the greatest thing I know I said Van Halen was the greatest thing I've ever heard in M10, but as a man of my age, even right now, you could get together a 30-piece orchestra in the finest concert hall in the world with the greatest musicians, and nothing would ever sound better than this to me. Roll Over Beethoven by Chuck Berry. I mean, it's funny because you listen to like the White Stripes, you listen to the Black Keys, and this is all they're really trying to do.
This guitar
and it's
sound.
Still nowhere near as good.
All those other guys did is just add fuzz on this.
I mean, this is to me, this is incredible.
Yeah,
it's a jumping little
record. I want my jockey. Yeah, but this is a cheat.
In what way?
Oh, because Michael J. Fox called him up, you know.
True.
Chuck
this
Berry's,
is your cousin, Marvin.
Marvin Berry.
Marvin Berry.
Yeah.
That's the best is he has to tell him. He has to say his name.
Yeah, I know.
He could have gone, hey, Chuck, it's your cousin, Marvin. But he had to explain he was Marvin Berry.
Well, that was probably a very difficult joke to write for Bob Gale and Zemeckis or whoever it was.
know that news.
But certainly, I have him as a two seed because to me, Chuck Berry really.
You're saying Van Halen, which was the influence on Marty McFly, is better than Chuck Berry because he went back in the time loop. I think that's pretty impressive.
To me, this guy invented rock and roll. There's a lot of debate about who invented rock and roll, but I think everybody since the beginning of time that's played rock and roll has been trying to be Chuck Berry. To me, this is the greatest thing ever. And if you really want, well, Corey, here's the thing. The Ford plant, if they weren't going to kill us before, wait till they hear what we say about this next act. The number 15 seed in this bracket, the pride of Motown, the pride of Detroit, Bob Seger, who... You can't see what Corey's doing right now, but it is a vulgar gesture apparently directed towards the beard of Bob Seger. Now, it's funny. When you go from Chuck Berry to Bob Seger, you hear that Bob Seger has just watered down Chuck Berry to make it more friendly for radio audiences. And so to me, when you're picking, you know, a 70s rock and roll band leader type guy, I'll go with Springsteen. I'll take Tom Petty next. I'll take 50 guys before I get down to Bob Seger.
Really?
Meanwhile, this song sounds good to me, but not my thing.
Yeah, but see, he was hot before you were into this.
I guess.
You know, that's the,
but what was Chuck Berry? And I love Chuck
Berry. Just legendary.
Okay.
You know, I mean.
The greatest rock and roll movie of all time is Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll. Okay. Chuck Berry.
All right. Well,
we're differing. You're going with Seger.
No, I went with Chuck Berry.
Oh, did you really?
I went with the black guy again. What's wrong with you? I told you what the rules are.
Get ready for your Little Richard and Prince final.
Yeah. Well, Corey, do you have any dissenting opinion here? I mean, you clearly hate Bob Seger and all that he represents.
The Eagles and Bob Seger are your generation's music. That's my dad's music. I therefore hate it.
Well, I could have gone all day without hearing that shit. Thanks.
What, the Eagles?
No, your dad's music. That's not your father's Oldsmobile.
You're younger than my dad.
Well,
but look, it's still I just don't care for it. And
yeah, okay.
Bob Seger. I do like Ramblin' Gamblin' Man.
Yeah,
the early stuff. I got a real beef with anything with like saxophone in it in rock and roll past 1958. So you know,
Arturo Reed. Alto Reed?
Alto Reed.
Alto Reed.
You gotta go with Chuck.
Just
much like
he was whack for a second. Yeah.
Look, much like Little Richard Penniman,
yeah.
Chuck Berry was a founder.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all of this came from Chuck Berry.
That's the way we went. Yep, okay.
All right. I think we're all in agreement.
Although, much like Little Richard, Chuck Berry has about six songs.
He does, and they kind of all sound the same song. But still the greatest songs ever, so. All right, let's move on.
This
please.
Is one of your strangest matches.
Well, my number one seed in this bracket, we're down to the final bracket. And, you know, this was a huge album for me as a kid. I had this on vinyl, Off the Wall, The King of Pop. And I picked this because I really do feel this was when he was at his best, with this was this album. Listen to this. Come on, guys. I mean, you can't make a pop record that sounds better than that. This is all that Pharrell shit that's coming out now. It all sounds exactly like this, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. Daft Punk and all that stuff.
Yeah. The King of Pop, Michael Jackson. Let's just listen and enjoy. Bill could give a fuck about this. We can tell already.
Flying.
But do you like this next act? And more importantly,
here's my Michael Jackson beef.
Yeah.
The guy had so much help.
Yeah, that's true.
Mean, you know, everything was done for him. The things were written. They were arranged.
He didn't play the instruments. You got to
walk in, do the vocal. Yeah. You know, now, granted, I saw the documentary about, you know, one of the last.
This
concerts.
Is it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, guy worked his ass.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Made no mistake.
That's a great movie, too. This is
but
it.
You're
is
right.
Did the production design for him.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, Jackson, you got to stand here and you got to
stand
there.
He had Quincy Jones, Smokey Robinson, all these guys
the
on
guy
his shoulders.
Yeah, just had so much
shoulders.
Shit on his side.
You know, Diana Ross.
Well, I think.
Unlike these next guys who did it themselves.
Now, I hope you like what I picked for these guys, because these guys certainly made music that was completely representative. Comprehensible at a certain point in their career. But to me, this still does
and this
sound
is more
great.
Titty bar music.
Yeah, this is.
I've seen more naked.
There you go.
Here you go.
This is old ZZ Top.
Oh, man.
The 16 seed.
Just hearing this makes me want to pull a fiver out of my wallet and stick it in Corey's pants.
And really, a lot of people don't even realize, because if you only got into ZZ Top for Give Me All Your Love, and you didn't even know that they did stuff like this, and, you know. Take me downtown. I'm just looking for some tush. Is tush, let me ask you this. Does it just mean ass, or does it mean something else? Does it mean I'm trying to get laid, or what does this song mean?
Oh, wait a minute. Is that the actual lyric?
Lord, take me downtown. I'm just looking for, yeah.
Touch.
The name of the song is Tush, T-U-S-H. He just figured that. Look at him. He's cracking up now. He's just figured that out.
I just seen what you knew. Right?
No, I mean, I'm guessing this is about getting laid, right?
Well,
I mean,
pretty much.
All right, that's fine. Well, Corey, we have certainly true divergent
After
styles.
After that question, the Ford plant turned you off.
Yeah, I was going to say, Corey.
This guy doesn't know Tush.
I think we know where I'm heading on this, because we've seen that my preference is not for bar bands.
Yeah, okay.
ZZ Top is—it's fun. I can't say it's not fun.
Well, this is certainly the best era of ZZ Top. If you were going to listen to ZZ Top,
and I can't pretend we didn't all enjoy it with the thing with the spinning guitars and the beards and you know, when they were big in the '80s. But MJ's got to win that, I think.
All right. And considered one of the great guitar players of all time, Billy Gibbons.
This is going to be the only one I'm going to lose on.
So you're going ZZ Top, huh?
I didn't do MJ, like I said, because of all the support. Of course, he was an influence. Yeah. I get that, but damn it, he was a pedophile.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
You know, so
So I'm the deciding.
Isn't it funny that the guy named Beard is the only one that didn't have a beard?
In this era, I believe only one guy had a beard when they made this.
Right.
Now, and if I went with my criteria so far of going with the black guy, I can't put Michael Jackson in there. So I went with ZZ Top.
You went with ZZ Top.
I went with ZZ Top.
At least you're consistent.
That's so true.
Well, I'm going to be the deciding vote here. And again, when I was a kid in 1982 and I got the Off the Wall album for my birthday, I was a very happy young man. And when I think about it, yeah. Michael Jackson was hugely influential. I can't deny his talents.
Oh,
look,
man.
Which rock and roll star had the worst, most humiliating death, Michael Jackson's the number one seed and the grand champion of that tournament. But
of the most embarrassing death?
Yeah, I think
not
so.
Not like Elvis dying on the toilet?
I don't know.
Mel,
didn't I mean, Michael Jackson
the
sort
king
of...
king died on the throne. It's, nothing's better than
Michael
that.
Michael Jackson euthanized himself to death. I think that's a little more embarrassing. But anyway, I'm going with Michael Jackson, the king of pop.
All right.
ZZ Top's all right, but
that's
not really
the only one I lost.
All right, coming up next. Now, this is a band. If you're a girl, you'll say this is the greatest album of all time. Maybe other people might differ. It's a little before my time, but this is Fleetwood Mac from the Rumors album. I like this, but to me, this sounds like the back of my mom's Oldsmobile.
Exactly.
Sitting in the backseat listening to AM radio in the 70s.
Talk about some overplayed shit.
Yeah. Corey, any thoughts on Fleetwood Mac, or should we get...
That's another band I've warmed to over time. I once hated with a passion, and now, like, you know, I can kind of groove with it. There was maybe, like, I don't know, about 8, 9 years ago, or 10 years ago, they kind of made a resurgence, and I remember going, you know, Rumors kind of not bad.
Yeah, Rumors kind of came back.
But that wasn't an album dropped on your, like, wasn't that, like, green stamps where, like, everybody got them? And was it, like, they just dropped them at your house? It was, like, the phone book. They just dropped a copy of Rumor. Didn't that, like,
it was everywhere.
Sell every...
There were records.
And you're right. You went to some chick's house. You're going through her albums. There's
Rumors.
Like, there was no one who... If they didn't have Rumors, you kind of looked and went, what's this about?
I never had Rumors.
Oh, it's on the turntable.
It's a little... This and, like, the Eagles a little before my time, so I was never a huge fan.
Yeah.
But now I think... So I think, boy, this one... I think this is a tough matchup on paper, but I think everyone in this room, I think I know how we're voting, because... Yeah. You want to talk about music for guys. You want to talk about a guy band.
You want to talk about riffs.
Yeah. I mean, Southern rock, but Southern rock done well, and even Corey can appreciate
good,
Southern
this
rock.
This is a good tune. This is a nice pick.
Corey, the Ford plant might like you on this pick.
Well, there's no pick here.
Creedence Clearwater Revival.
CCR all day.
Yep.
Well, that's unanimous.
Yeah.
And I know the reason Fleetwood Mac is seated even higher than CCR, they're an 8 against a 9, is because I know women are going to play this game. I know they're going to look at this. I know there's beard-stroking music heads that will love Fleetwood Mac Rumors, and that's the greatest album ever. So for you, they're an 8 seed.
That's a very limited minority.
For guys with penises that like to fuck women, we like CCR, and therefore they're going to move ahead in this bracket. All right? No objections. Even the cat is bored with Fleetwood Mac.
For women who like to get fucked, I like Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. By the way, if you're a girl, I'll put Rumors right on. Don't get me wrong. I've got all that. I've got Coldplay records. I will put those on.
I'll even bring you a copy.
My uncle, I remember I was little and Stevie Nicks was on something. And he was like, oh, I'd like to get close to her. and I remember going, well, couldn't you just go to her concert? And he's like, you're going to learn someday, kid.
Yeah.
But there you go.
All right, well, let's move on. CCR winning it unanimously with a band who, Corey, now this is it. Now we finally come to where you and I saw the revolution that hit in 1991, the year punk broke, with this band, the pride of the Pacific Northwest, Kurt Cobain,
yes,
Christopher Selleck, Dave Grohl. It smells
Pat
like Smear. Teen Spirit. Well, later Pat yeah, Smear, yeah. But not for this album. It Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana, the number 4 seed. To me, if you want to talk about influence as a single entity, I think you go Elvis, the Beatles, and I really think you go Nirvana. I mean, I think they're in the top 5 most influential things ever. When this thing came out, all of those bands like Guns N' Roses and Def Leppard and all that shit that came before it were swept out. Everyone started enjoying grunge. It blew up. It changed the music industry. And I happen to just love the music as well, so... But...
Saw him twice.
Yeah.
Never
saw Nirvana. For all my concert going in the early 90s, I never got in, so...
Saw him at St. Andrews and then saw him at the State Fairgrounds.
Yeah. And certainly self-destructive and might have gone on to have an amazing career had he not had an affinity for drugs and guns, Kurt Cobain did, but...
Yep. And they're up against number 13 seed.
All right, hold on a minute here. Listen, Bill's
checked out.
I'm counting of the number of drinks that Bill's had. His affinity for Nirvana, which is very low.
What happened to the production assistant you used to have here that would go and get you a beer when you ran out?
I'll tell you what, I'm
getting thirsty over here.
I'll let you enjoy this next. Corey wants to stop.
I don't even want to hear these fucking.
You want to hear what I pick?
No, wait a minute. No, play it.
Play it. All right, here's
stay here. Hang on a second.
Who's they're up against? How could I not pick this, though?
Now.
Yeah, okay. A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Rush with Tom Sawyer.
Keyboard band.
Okay, go ahead.
And I told you about keyboard band.
Yeah, you have an affinity for keyboard band.
I don't like these guys.
You don't like Rush? Holy shit.
I'll tell you what. I saw one of their concerts on TV like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And other than this tune and maybe a couple others...
Right.
What a bunch of pretentious bullshit.
It is the weakness of Rush is the songwriting.
Yeah.
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 It's a lot of drum solos.
Yeah.
It's a lot of...
No, I'll tell you what. You want
one of those? Is that beer acceptable to you?
I don't care.
He doesn't give it. It's got booze in it. It's fine.
Picky to you.
You're going to have to open that with the opener.
But no, I went with Nirvana.
Corey, are you hearing this? He hates... This is a guy who loves prog rock and hates Rush.
Bill's a
Nirvana.
Wise man.
Right. Rush is going to be at DTE, and I didn't get any tickets. I said, nah, I saw that. I watched that thing on TV, and I said, nah, this is crap.
Well, Bill's a wise man, because the only band I hate on this turn on this list more than the Eagles is Rush.
Yeah.
No,
well, here's the thing with Rush.
I hate them, hate them, hate them.
Yeah. Again, I said you were out of the room, but I said I think Rush's weakness is in songwriting. It sounds good when the song comes together like this, but overall, it's a lot of guitar solos. It's a lot of a knob twiddling. It's a lot of rock and roll masturbation. It's not really...
You know what this tournament's doing for me here? What's clarifying
that?
Something.
Yeah.
Kraft is garbage.
Okay.
In music.
Kraft for the sake of Kraft.
Kraft in comedy is good to a certain extent.
What do you mean by Kraft?
I mean the bands like this.
Yeah.
That everybody wanks off about their musicianship and while they're playing... I'll listen to that, they're playing 7-8, and then they go into 6-4. Like... Who, you know, when guys have guitar charts for this shit, and they're like, "Oh man,
yeah,
oh listen to Leibson's guitar." Like, who gives a shit?
Well, but
because they don't write
the
music
argument
that
exactly.
Your soul.
Queen and the Beatles were every bit as advanced in the studio as Rush, but they had the songs. Queen has the songs. The
when
Beatles
we're done with this,
songs.
I'm going to talk to you about that book I read about how the Beatles destroyed rock and roll. It's a book that's out. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how all this came about.
All right, let's move on.
But let's move on.
No more.
But yeah, I went with Nirvana, so there. So
all right, good
me.
Times.
All right, guys.
All right.
Time to put the booze away, Bill. Fire up a doobie, because even what I picked to represent this band, to me, this is what Pink Floyd really is. And I could have picked another brick in the wall, or I could have picked Money, but instead I said, let's just go right to the, I think it's pretty much, what, the center of Dark Side of the Moon,
yep,
this
pretty
one?
Pretty much.
And you just kind of lay back.
That's what we used to do.
Dim the lights, fire up a doobie, and listen to this.
And this is...
Breathe in the air.
This is when I found out just how cool bongs were.
Yeah. And listen, this sounds great to me. I'm not a huge Pink Floyd fan, but nobody does this better than them. I'm not saying this is great, but nobody does this better than them. So, Corey, any thoughts on Pink Floyd?
I'm gonna go with them over Janis.
Okay, well, I haven't even played it.
Oh, sorry.
Well, let's.
All right, let's hear Janis. You let the cat out of the bag.
Talk about. I'm sorry.
Let's get a little piece of her. Everybody else did.
Hey-o.
Now, this is every girl at karaoke thinks they can do this, by the way. I just want ever go to karaoke.
Listen,
you hear this 10 times a night at karaoke.
Tammy Wynette's written crazy.
Written by Kris Kristofferson.
Okay. Now, was this actually Janis solo, or was this Big Brother and the Holding
this
Company?
This is
Janis
Pearl.
So this is,
I believe,
Janis solo.
Is that Pearl?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's how much we care about Janis Joplin. But, yeah. Look, there's no doubting her voice and her talent, but... And I don't even like Pink Floyd, but I can't listen.
Not like Pink
I can't listen
Floyd.
to this fucking. I can't listen to this for more than 3 seconds. So I went for Floyd.
All right, but
I respect Floyd more than I like it. I respect it.
I'll tell you what. I do like Janis Joplin, and
yes.
I do. I have Big Brother and the Holy Company's first album, and I have.
I'm gonna bring you over to my house. I got some concert footage.
Yeah, I bet you do.
On my Bose 901.
Yeah.
My high def TV, and I think I might be able to change your mind.
I think it's another case of stuff. This is like her best song too.
Yeah.
This is it's kind of stuff that hasn't aged as well.
Yeah.
And it's a little showy.
Yeah.
Talking about craft.
Sure.
This is her running scales vocally. So, yeah, I had to go with Floyd.
You went Pink Floyd. It's unanimous,
right.
Although,
okay.
Again, to me, both of these I could give or take. You know, Pink Floyd, though, as I've learned more about the Beatles in my giant bookshelf of Beatles books I have out there, that really Floyd came out of the Beatles because Alan Parsons was the Beatles engineer. He took over working with Pink Floyd. They recorded in the same studio.
Yeah,
so.
But still, some of the songs in the David Gilmour riffs, I mean...
Yeah, I'm with you. It's better than...
Numb, you got to be kidding me.
It's better than Janis Joplin. Well,
right.
Speaking of guitar riffs, I think we can all
agree...
Have you
ever seen Festival Express?
I did not.
It's a documentary about the Grateful Dead and Janis Joplin, and I think like the band on a train through Canada.
Yeah.
And just getting incredibly destroyed. Just fucked up beyond measure.
Well, when you talk about riffs, though, does it get... I mean, did any band have more riffs over their body of work? And more great riffs, more melodic fucking... I mean, Led Zeppelin. Again, I didn't even pick the best-known Led Zeppelin song, but it's still great.
I'm glad you didn't pick Stairway to Heaven.
I did not.
I'd have jumped over your bed and strangled
you. That was only 2 hours.
We don't have 9 minutes.
You hear that in elevators now, for Christ's sake.
Well, let's hear who Led Zeppelin's up against. Corey, I think it's... We think you've your thoughts on hard rock, I think, continue, and they apply to Zeppelin as well, right?
No, I like Zeppelin.
I
went with Zeppelin in this category.
Right, well,
oh, you
who
did?
Up against, anyway.
Well...
Now this is like this is Ike and Tina Turner. Now here's the argument for Ike and Tina.
He's black. I went with the black guy. I went with the black guy.
All right, so we actually have a vote for Zeppelin and a vote for Ike and Tina Turner. Ike Turner is actually considered by some people to be the man who invented rock and roll, and here's why. He was in a band. I forget the name of the band. But there was a song called Rocket 88. If you know, remember, hear the song Rocket 88?
People heard it, heard the noise they make.
Never not to see my Rocket 88. I could play it if I looked it up. But Rocket 88 is like this old rock song from the 50s. And Ike Turner is the
we
guy
We might not
who,
get through the next round.
I know.
Bill's
we got to hurry up. All right. And certainly, you know, they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They were a unique act. When I was looking up, you know, the greatest hits of Ike and Tina Turner, I could only find this and... River Deep Mountain High. And everything else, I couldn't even...
I don't even know how you picked... Who are some of the people you picked over Ike and Tina Turner?
Yeah, you know what? I think maybe it was a black vote. No, I did leave off Talking Heads out of the brackets for this. And... and Smokey Robinson.
I can Tina Turner.
Look, I spent 8 goddamn hours making this, and I didn't include Johnny
Cash.
He's
not making that noise with
his
mouth.
So anyway, right, enough of this.
That's incredible.
Let's move on and just pick.
So who'd you pick?
Well, I got to pick Zeppelin. How can I vote
against you know what? It's not I don't like Ike and Tina on some level, but come on. They can't stack up the Zeppelin.
So, yeah.
Oh, I lost another one. I went with Ike.
Okay, well, we're going.
But, but I'll tell you why. Only because Led Zeppelin.
Because he controlled his bitch.
Damn fat. He didn't take no shit from that cunt, man. Shit. Goddamn right.
Oh,
no,
shit.
No, I went. You know, Led Zeppelin just had a Kennedy Center honor
thing,
and they've already won a ton of stuff. And so I just went with them, figuring what the hell.
He had the best hand.
I went with
the
underdog.
All right.
Ike had the best hands in music.
All right,
he could go either way with them. He could go front hand or back hand with them.
I'm doing pretty good.
He was incredible.
I'm at 98%.
Archie, this is one of the things in rock and roll where I'd like to say, this is one of those covers that people think is better than the original, but it's not. You go with the CCR version of Proud Mary, right?
I do, but
yeah,
I'm almost.
All right, let me ask you this. A little help from my friends, the Beatles or Joe Cocker?
Joe Cocker.
Oh, you're fucking out of here.
Oh, Joe
Get him
Cocker.
Out. Throw him out of the room.
Oh.
The Beatles all day. Get
I'm
out.
I'm pretty sure
I
don't
know. Get out.
Go. That's the,
I,
that
get out.
What we meant. That's
get out.
Well,
you know, I gotta say.
Okay.
You gotta be kidding
me. You say Joe Cocker too?
I gotta say Cocker kind of made that his own.
Get out. Two of you, goodbye. Well, I don't need
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he owned it, man.
Nobody needs you anymore.
Hold on. Over fucking Ringo.
Come
are you
going
to sit here and hold your
breath? Ringo.
Are you going to draw a line in the sand over fucking
Ringo? Over Cocker. In that song, Ringo.
Hey, Corey, look
you
at the time.
So
I think we got to leave.
Yeah, all right, let's move on. We
look, it's going to get real ugly over on this other side of the bracket.
Well, it's going to get ugly right here when I talk about my love for the Doors, or lack thereof. But here you go. I have him as a 6 seed here.
This was the easiest pick in the bunch.
All right.
The Doors versus this next knucklehead.
Well,
you got to be shitting me.
All right,
this was the easiest. This was the easiest pick. You
but
got
that,
a friend.
I chose Fire and Rain to represent the works of Dame Taylor.
You got a friend.
Anyone want to pick
Have
James
you
Taylor?
Heard? I'm Mockingbird. Got it. Now this they is a great tune.
It is. This is a good song.
This is an excellent song.
And by the way, when
but
the
everything
girls,
he did after this was shit.
But here's the thing: if the girl's coming over, you take the Doors record off and you put the James Taylor record on. Isn't that correct?
Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac. Okay, but
did
still.
Did more people get fucked to Morrison Hotel or Sweet Baby James?
I think it's probably Sweet Baby James, but it doesn't mean you should vote against the Doors.
I got Mockingbird, don't sing. I'm going to buy you a diamond ring.
Now, wait. The Doors are a keyboard band, right? Shouldn't you?
I went with the Doors.
He likes the Doors.
That locks your vote up. Yeah. All right, stop. Enough of this nonsense.
This
and I know he was an Apple guy.
Right, he was discovered by the Beatles.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney plays bass on Carolina on My Mind.
But so was Marianne Hooper. Or what's her name?
Who are you talking about?
There was a girl that McCartney produced.
Oh, yeah, the girl that sang Goodbye, Mary Hopkins.
Mary Hopkins.
It's a good song. Goodbye.
But nobody remembers her.
Yes, if you ever hear one of the great Beatles.
Once upon a time, there was a tavern. Where we used to raise a glass or two.
Yeah,
nobody remembers.
If you ever hear, if you ever hear the Paul McCartney demo of Goodbye, it's on Beatles bootlegs. It's never been officially released.
Okay.
It's one of the great Paul McCartney performances ever. So anyway, let's move on.
All right, Doors. Got it.
Doors.
How come Wings isn't on this list?
All right, everybody. Now, Bill, now you're talking about keyboard guys. I mean, if this is not the keyboard guy's
keyboard stuff I'm
this is
talking
too simple.
About.
This is too
no, I love,
electric
I love
piano.
Synthesizers, yeah. Mellotrons, all that electronic
but not
stuff.
This.
But you got to love this.
Yeah, this is a guy that I didn't even think maybe qualified as rock and roll, but this really is the root of rock and roll right here. Ray Charles, What I Say.
C, F, and G, occasionally E. He's working on R&B.
And again, Ray doesn't start singing until like 2 minutes into
and
this.
Me
so
and
I,
the
I,
chimpanzee I, agree that one day he will soon be a celebrity.
I'm going to send you back to Arkansas.
So this is great. We can all agree I have him as a 7 seed.
I got him.
All right. And let's see who they're
the
up
genius
against.
Of soul, Ray Charles.
All right. We all agree.
Who are they up against? Now this, I'll tell you. Now I chose this to represent the Police for this reason. I think this is what the Police did best. that reggae influence, new wave,
sure,
all that stuff, when they got too polished and they started doing Every Breath You Take, that I didn't like. But this I like.
The lyrics.
This is Can't Stand Losing You. But the lyrics are very raw. They're I like this a lot.
Hate these guys.
You know, this is a case where it's much like you two.
Yeah.
It's difficult for me to separate how reprehensible I find Gordon Sumner to be.
Sting, yeah.
Than this fucking, you know. I really, the band's not bad. I like the Police.
Yeah, Police are good, but
Synchronicity, man. It's a great album.
Well, I think if you have the Police greatest hits, you can listen to every song all the way through. They're all great. But is he are they bigger and better than Ray Charles?
No.
You sang Ray Charles. I actually, because again, I went down to, if I was on a deserted island and I could only have one person's music to listen to for the rest of my life, I would actually choose the Police, so I went with the Police.
Oh.
Bill?
Nothing better than Ray Charles singing Georgia. It's like the best thing ever.
Well, I went with the Police.
Ray Charles.
It's a little more contemporary.
Ray
right.
So I got
I'm outvoted.
This time.
I'm outvoted.
Yeah, right. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you, brother Bill.
I'm outvoted.
I can't stand losing. Yeah,
all right.
This is inventive
this
shit.
Is the final matchup in the first round.
Christ.
We got
turn the shit up.
Many more.
All right, this is going to wrap it up. We'll do the rest of the bracket next month.
Yeah, maybe.
Is it still Wednesday?
Now, again, when you have to choose a Who single, what do you choose? And I went with one of their very early ones. Can't explain. I could have went with Bob O'Reilly, but we'd have to wait 6 minutes for that thing to get going. So, now, what poor soul has to try to compete with the Who? What poor man would have to go up against this? And it actually turns out to be one of my all-time favorites. Roy Orbison. Completely different style. One of the great all-time voices in rock and roll music and country music. You've got the four-piece rock and roll assault of the Who versus the introspective. Only the
lonely. I want to hear Corey on this one.
Yeah,
hold on. I just realized that Declan Patrick McManus did not make this list.
Oh. There was a problem with the bracketing and why Elvis didn't make it.
You're right.
What happened was, and I'll explain it to you, Elvis Costello was put in as a 10 seed.
Yeah.
And I decided that was too high, and I was trying to lower his seed, and I couldn't do it, so I put the Police in his stead. Because I think the Police were probably
that would have changed my bracket.
All right, but here's the point. Please vote on Roy Orbison versus The Who.
The Who are better in terms of depth and breadth. Roy Orbison's great. Can't say I don't love this.
Roy Orbison's best stuff all kind of sounds the same. Like, Pretty Woman sounds different than this, but the ballads all kind of sound the same. I went with The Who, but God damn it, I love some Roy Orbison.
He had a great instrument. Yeah. He had a great, weird, haunting voice.
The Who said, hey, they were the first ones to say, let's do a rock opera.
Yeah.
I mean, how cool is
that? Yeah, it is. It is great.
And I think that was actually, I don't know, it was the first double album.
Think
the White Album was?
Album might have been the first one. I'm not sure.
I do favor the
Blonde on Blonde.
Tommy preceded that just by a matter of months.
Could have been.
I do tend to prefer the early mod stuff on The Who.
To the later stuff.
Meaty, beady, big and bouncy kind of stuff, too, to the later stuff. But, yeah.
Well, first of all, everyone gets it wrong. The best Who album is Who's Next, and that's the best Who album.
Well, that's
good. And I won't listen to anything else. So, anyway.
All right.
Yeah, we love Roy Orbison. I do, anyway. And all right, so here we go. We're into the second round. We've chosen The Who.
Yep.
Can we get through these quickly without too much argument, or is it just going to get even worse?
Well, no, I think we're all pretty much in agreement. So I only got I got outvoted on only two picks.
All right, but now we're up.
How about you? Did you keep track?
Who did I get outvoted on? I got outvoted a couple times. I chose the Police over Ray Charles. I chose Van Halen over Van Morrison, so I got voted out there. I chose Tom Petty over Jimi Hendrix. But I think otherwise, I think the left side.
Right, he's got three. He's a loser. How about you, Corey?
I didn't keep track. But I know I lost to Velvet Underground. I know I lost the Ramones. I probably had another loss.
All right, so I'm doing good.
All right, well, let's go to the top left now. Number one, Elvis Presley against the Band.
Yep.
We've already espoused what we like about both of these.
Sure.
Okay.
For me, I'll vote first on this one. I think, and looking at my bracket, to me, while Elvis was, the king of rock and roll, the Band, to me, made incredible singles Great musicianship, almost unparalleled musicianship, even on this list. I would listen to the band until I drop dead, and I will continue to. So, for me, I vote for the band. Bill, I'll let you vote next. Yep.
Got to be Elvis, man, because everybody's standing on his shoulders.
Right.
He's an original. He started this shit.
I'm kind of with Joel
I like the band. Make no mistake, but I'm just thinking in terms of...
How often do you listen to Elvis Presley in your life? Never, I'm guessing.
I will listen to him sometimes, because there's an Elvis station on... I find on Sirius that the Elvis station is a safe... When everything else sucks on there, I'll just go to that Elvis station. I can sit there and listen to it.
Yeah.
Elvis never made an album that was a great album.
Sure.
All other than maybe his gospel stuff.
But when you listen to music from Big Pink, it's one of the great rock records ever.
Sure, the band, their self-titled.
The self-titled
one.
Is great too, so...
I love the band, but I went with Elvis.
Elvis! Ah! My ballot is busted.
You're the man. You're
my ballot is busted. I had the band going to the great eight.
Well,
anyway.
Good. Well, good. I'm glad we took care of that early.
You know, well, you guys fucked me on the Velvet Underground, so there you go.
All right, you two and Elton John. I think we're going to be unanimous here, right?
Elton.
Oh, I guess we're not. I'm going you two.
I went with Elton.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. All right, I went with
old Reg.
We're smoking.
All right, Corey,
here.
Now this one gets tough for you.
Yeah.
But I think while you like the Animals, you're clearly voting for Beach Boys.
Sure, the Beach Boys.
What did I vote for?
Give me all the Beach Boys except Mike Love.
Here's my problem with Beach Boys. All too similar sounding across the catalog.
I don't think you know the catalog. The Animals
had some real diverse stuff. I have some Animals compilations, and they did all kinds of crazy psychedelic stuff in the late 60s. Fantastic. I went with the Animals. Bill?
Eagles.
No, it's not about the Eagles. No, I mean, for what we chose, we're collectively now.
Yeah.
I know you went with Eagles. The Eagles are out because the Animals beat them in round one.
Me and Corey voted Animals.
You need to give Bill the sheets.
Bill's drunk. No, in the first, you actually did
You can't
vote the Eagles. No, you have to go between the Animals
you
and the
Beach Boys.
You voted
them out. You guys voted
Animals.
So I lost three.
You lost the Eagles. Yeah, you lost on the Eagles.
So
Animals and Beach Boys.
Oh, Animals and Beach Boys. Oh, shit. And you voted for who?
I got the Animals. Corey's got the Beach Boys.
Yeah,
you're
I got
the
boys.
Ah, motherfucker.
Thank you.
I got
the
boys.
By the way, the Beach Boys later 60s catalog is all more psychedelic.
All right.
I like the Animals more.
Okay.
The Bee Gees.
Which is no slight. I like the Animals too, but I love the Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees against Bruce Springsteen. I think my vote is going to be well known to anyone. There's only one act in this top 64 where I have three tickets for three different concerts in 14 days for, and that's Bruce Springsteen in the E Street Band, so I vote for Bruce.
I got Bruce. Bill's
got Bruce.
As much as I hate to say it, I got Bruce.
You reluctantly
have
Bruce.
There we go.
Okay,
right.
So Bruce moves on. Because
I do like the Bee Gees. They don't get enough dap for being underrated somewhat.
Well,
they get a lot of love for selling records.
Yeah,
they don't get a lot of love for being good.
All right, Rolling Stone, Simon and Garfunkel. I think this is an easy pick. As great as Simon and Garfunkel are, the Stones just have that catalog that's almost second to none.
Yep.
Bill's with me.
Stones.
Corey agrees.
Stones.
It's the Stones. A tough one maybe for some people here. David Bowie and Cream. I got to look at who I even picked in mine. Corey, let's just go. You go first because we know what you're going.
Give me David Jones.
He likes David Bowie. I personally went with David Bowie as well on this one. I was Bill, any dissent?
I went with Cream.
He went with Cream, so David, Bill is outvoted.
David Duncan Jones it is for me.
Yeah, I just think Cream, two good albums, Bowie... A half a dozen great albums and lots of other good stuff. So, now
Cream, two great albums. Bowie, a half a dozen mediocre shit.
All right, Stevie Wonder versus the Birds.
Ziggy Stardust is better than anything Cream.
The Birds, Stevie Wonder. I don't even know where am I on my bracket here. Oh, I didn't have the Birds. I had Guns N' Roses against Stevie Wonder. But I voted for Stevie Wonder even against Guns N' Roses. So I think Stevie, again, great catalog. You could listen to Stevie.
Stevie here.
Any dissent?
Well, this is where my bracket was all fucked up because I did not pick Stevie Wonder.
You went with the Birds.
Why the Ramones over?
Oh,
Stevie.
You had the Ramones over the
over Bird? Stevie.
You had the Ramones over Stevie, so then you had Ramones Birds, right? Then who
right,
did you pick
right.
Then?
So I went with what did I have?
Did you not even get that far? You didn't even finish your bracket, did you?
No, I just wrote the wrong thing.
No, but I'm saying I'm doing the collective bracket.
Okay. Well,
your
then,
individual bracket, you would have picked the Ramones.
All right, so
against...
on this bracket, I will go with Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, okay, Stevie Wonder. All right, let's move on.
Just, I was hard to follow on my bracket.
Little Richard upset Metallica in round one. He is up against Bob Dylan. Two geniuses, but only one genius was Bob Dylan.
That was my
bracket. You went with Dylan?
I got it. I mean, I don't, over Little Richard? Yeah, Dylan all day. Come on.
Give me Zimmy.
Yeah.
I'll take Zimmy.
Oh, shit.
He picked Little Richard.
Went with the black guy again. You know, I told you what my deal
He's
is
hardly
here.
Black. All right.
Shut up.
Now listen.
I'm black as Georgian asphalt. Shut up. I make all the little white women scream. Woo!
When Corey and I were talking on the phone, when I said I'm making a bracket of the top 64, we said, no matter how you make it, the Beatles can't lose. But then when I made the bracket and I look at what the second round matchup is here, I think the Beatles might lose in a lot of people's votes to Neil Young, but not with me. I've picked the Beatles. Corey?
I had the Beatles.
And yep. Bill, any dissension there?
Nope.
Beatles?
Yeah. I had the Beatles.
Yeah, okay. Jimi Hendrix. Corey, you were outvoted on this one, but me and Bill picked Queen, so it's Jimi Hendrix against Queen. Actually, on my bracket, I had Tom Petty against Queen. But it is Jimmy against Queen.
I think I had the most losses on this.
Maybe
panel.
You did, but...
I got Jimmy.
You got Jimmy?
Yep.
Corey?
Well, I had the Velvet Underground
Yeah, I didn't have Jimmy and Queen on mine either, so I have to think about it for a minute, but...
So it's Hendrix versus who?
I've got a vote. He's picked Jimmy. I'm going Queen. I'll let you decide.
I would have to go Queen over Jimmy.
Queen takes a
no!
Which is not to say, look.
Yeah, it's not a knock on
I'll
Jimmy.
Tell you what,
but...
I was driving through Colorado one time, and my buddy, you know, was, and we were like, what the fuck do we listen to? And I'm like, Jimmy.
Jimi Hendrix.
Because that's like, when you want some epic shit, you're like, he's standing next to a mountain, going to chop it down
you
with
want some
his hand.
Widescreen.
That's big,
70
huge
millimeter,
shit.
Gigantic.
But Queen is kind of big, huge
it is too.
Drama,
you know,
too.
Again, I think Queen, the melody of Queen is going to push it over the edge. I'm a melody guy. All right, we decided Prince was better than R.E.M. and AC/DC beat the... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I fucked up on this one. We picked the Kinks in round one over AC/DC, didn't we? Collectively. Okay, so I fucked up. Prince or the Kinks? Corey, I think you're going Kinks,
I'm going
right?
The Kinks.
You can't not. And I'm going to say, this is to me a no-brainer, again, because I didn't even pick the Kinks to beat AC/DC. I went with Prince, which only leaves Bill to decide.
Going with the black guy. Oh! The black guys are losing in round two.
Kinks.
All right, there we go.
The Kinks going deep in the brackets.
If anyone is still listening to this.
The Cinderella team.
Yeah.
In the Joel Radio Rock and Roll Hall of Fame brackets, which you can download at joelradio.net. Let's go to the bottom. Van Morrison. Upset Van Halen in some mockery of justice. But Chuck Berry took out Bob Seger. So we have Van Morrison versus Chuck Berry, people. Look, I said my piece on Van Morrison. I'm the Chuck Berry guy all
Chuck
day.
Berry.
Chuck Berry.
I had Van Morrison, but yeah, Chuck will advance.
You are outvoted. All right. Speaking of being outvoted, I think I'm going to take it in the dick on this one. Michael Jackson, Creedence Clearwater Revival. I mean, talk about the... what was that?
I was trying to do the start of
it. Oh, the start.
Thriller.
Yeah, I mean, I went with MJ. God, I love CCR, but
right,
I went with
I
MJ.
I got outvoted. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm MJ. Corey, you're MJ.
I had to go with MJ. I don't,
Corey's
MJ. I'm not too. Like saying I'm happy about it.
Yeah, I'm not either, but I'm MJ.
But you know what? I'm starting with the man in the mirror.
You're asking him to change
I'm
his ways?
I'm asking him to change
Good.
His ways.
Change your ways.
No message could be anything.
All right, let's go down to, again, now here's two giants, completely different styles, Nirvana and Pink Floyd.
Floyd.
Yeah, we figured Bill was going Floyd. Look, I got to pick the band of my generation, and that, of course, is Nirvana, so
yeah,
I'm going Nirvana.
The boys from Aberdeen, Washington.
There you go.
Floyd's a little too farty for me, particularly the Roger. Particularly.
Look at Bill.
Particularly the Roger Waters.
He's literally wiping away a tear as he voted out Pink Floyd.
Bill is just trying to remember the number of bongs he packed to the wall. And it's pretty incredible.
That was the point.
Right, yeah. Right.
Oh, well.
Bill, they say if you can remember the Pink Floyd concert,
you weren't there. Yeah,
so okay. All right, now here's two guys. Now here's two bands that, again, when I say people tell me what their favorite, people who I think have no taste in music would probably tell me these are their two favorite bands, and that is Led Zeppelin and The Doors.
I thought that would be Skinnerd. And,
No. To me, my brother was big into both of these, and I thought my brother had no taste in music.
Well, you know what, though? These are bands that people, you're right, people who don't have any other, like,
right. People will just love the Doors, and they'll hate the Birds, and they'll hate all the Beach Boys. They'll hate all the West Coast
rock. They couldn't name a Velvet Underground song.
Right.
But they'll have, they'll
they
be
know
like,
every
like
Doors
Zeppelin
song.
Or Doors. Yeah.
There's guys who have books of Jim Morrison poetry who couldn't tell you the four members of the Beatles, and that I find that disgusting. But from
they could also, probably name the four members.
They also can't tell you the three branches of government
okay.
either. So.
Well, who wants
well,
to vote
the
first?
There's the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
That's
Corey,
right.
I don't even know where you go on this one. How do you go on this?
I went with Led Zeppelin.
Zeppelin. Bill, you want to vote on this one? Keyboard band versus a guitar band.
Doors.
He's going Doors. I'm going to break the tie, and I'm going to sink Bill Hildebrandt's boat and vote. For Led
gotta
Zeppelin.
Go Zepp, right?
Yeah, I'd vote for Zeppelin on that one.
I'm not even a big, huge Zepp fan, but like whole lot of love.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, come the on. Riffs, the riffs, come man. On. The riffs. Ray Charles, who took the Police in a 2-1 split vote against The Who, possibly the greatest live rock act of all time, The Who. If it's not Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, it's The Who. Ray Charles and The Who. Look, I'm picking Who. For obvious reasons. Anyone want a dissent?
Go ahead, Corey.
Nah, I'm going to go with Who. Ray Charles is great, but I'm
going
to go with Who.
Yeah, I'm going Who.
Yeah, see, I went with the black guy again.
So the Who goes ahead
so,
there.
All right.
Albert at the top left. It is the Sweet Six. What is this? The Sweet Six, the five, the Grade Eight here. I think we, or is this the Sweet 16? Sweet 16. Elvis Presley, Elton John. Boy, this is tough because at this point I had the band against you too on my bracket. So I was completely outvoted here. Jesus Christ, I think I'd pick Elton. How the fuck does Elton get into the final eight? But whatever.
What is this, Elton and Elvis?
Elton and Elvis, yeah. I got Elton.
I put his hand in mine and I walked with Elvis Aaron Presley.
Oh, okay. So deciding vote.
Presley here.
Elvis.
Yep, sorry.
Beats Elton. All right. The Beach Boys.
Just for In the Ghetto. That's why I picked
all right, well, this is going to be a sad moment for me. You guys might have to give me a minute to recover because the Beach Boys are up against Bruce Springsteen.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I'm with Bruce Springsteen. And
well,
I think,
we know how these...
Which, I think...
Bill, it's a deadlock, and we know how this goes.
Yeah, Corey's going Beach Boys. And
I went with the Boys.
God,
yes! Justice! Justice, the most overrated bullshit in the history of mankind, goes down!
Fucker.
Down!
Overrated bullshit.
What? Are you a roofer in Trenton, New Jersey?
What the fuck? I'm a music fan in Ferndale, Michigan.
Overrated. Overrated.
All right.
You fucking dick.
This is, by the way, when I met you, I never heard a word about Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen,
I didn't
if
hear
you
a
want to
word
hear,
about
okay,
Bruce
I'll
Springsteen
tell you
for
about
like
Bruce
8
Springsteen.
Years that
I'll
I
tell you
here.
About, I was a fan of Springsteen back in the 80s, you know, from like 84 to 89. Yeah. And then when the 90s hit, I was into all that alternative music.
Sure.
And all of those bands self-destructed and went away. And who was still making great music as year, I mean, even the album that came out this year is real good, High Hopes. But the Wrecking Ball album, after the death of Clarence Clemons, I said, how can Bruce possibly go on?
You know,
on?
I got
to
honestly...
He reinvented the E Street Band. I went to the show. I bought a cheap ticket a day before the show. I went and saw Bruce Springsteen, and it was like all those years melted away, and I loved it again, and I've been going to shows ever since.
You might be the only Bruce Springsteen fan I know.
Well, you don't know a guy with great musical taste named Jeff Dwoskin, you fucking asshole. That's inside. But Jeff is a big spring. He's a Bruce Trampling
okay,
guy.
Okay, all right,
so.
All right. I didn't know that.
Bill, I mean, let's go to the Stones and Bowie. Corey, I think maybe we go to you last on this. I'll vote first. I'm Stones. I'm not torn on this at all.
Yeah.
I think Bowie, while great, is still minor compared to the Stones. They cast too big a shadow. Corey, I mean, he's voting Stones. Any dissent?
Stones.
I think it's sad that David Bowie died in a tragic car accident in 1980, shortly after Scary Monsters.
He kind of did.
I can't think of an artist I love their first decade more than David Bowie compared to the rest of what they did.
Right. So
not that he didn't do some interesting stuff, but I hate Let's Dance.
Yeah.
So it has
and
to.
And the
be,
Stones have made good records at least into the late 80s.
Well, in the mid 80s at least, mid-80s, probably. Yeah. I mean,
Tattoo You
is okay. Yeah. So. Got to be the Stones.
Stones, moving
and that
on.
Hurt. That one hurts. I love Bowie. Aladdin Sane, Hunky Dory, some of my
Stones
favorite
are in the final eight on the bottom here. We're going down to Stevie Wonder and Bob Dylan. Holy shit. Two giants. Two geniuses.
Yeah, that's a
Bill. Now, Bill didn't even want Bob Dylan. He wanted Little Richard. So I guess you got to go. The black guy vote wins with you and Stevie
Wonder. You got it.
Well, listen, I'm going to let...
Visions is a great album, man. I'm sorry.
It really is.
Corey, I'll let you vote next.
Songs in the Key of Life is a great album.
Stevie Wonder, Bob Dylan. I think I know how you're going on this.
Talking Book, an amazing album. Stevie Wonder, one of the greatest geniuses in the history of music. Loses to the man from Hibbing, Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree. Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan, Bill. Get it right. Bob Dylan.
Once upon a time in Japan,
I can continue to play the actual acts.
Bob Zimmerman.
Here's the greatness of Zimmy, as the insiders call him. We all have an impression of him. Some people have an impression of Stevie Wonder, but you know.
Yeah, anyone thinks they can sing like Dylan, but Dylan's unique. All right, up at the top right, the Beatles and Queen. Certainly, if you live in. If you live in the United Kingdom, you're probably going, holy fucking shit, how can I decide between Queen and the Beatles?
Wait.
It's impossible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and your bracket is completely different because you went, you picked Velvet Underground and all kinds of shit, but collectively we voted for the Beatles and Queen. I think the Beatles just go through unless any dissension among the ranks here.
No, the Beatles.
No, all right.
Should have left the Beatles off this thing.
Yeah, they're really kind of unfair.
Too big?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see who the number two act ends up being. Let's go down. Now, these guys, I had them gone in the first round, but the Kinks have lived on. They've defeated Prince. They've defeated AC/DC. They're up against Chuck Berry. I mean, is it possible the Kinks could be headed for the Great Eight, Corey? Is that possible?
Kinks.
He's got Kinks. I've got Chuck Berry. That only leaves Bill to decide.
Waterloo Sunset.
Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry and Corey.
Oh, you guys are out of your
down.
Damn minds.
Corey, down goes Corey.
You are out of your
down
damned mind.
Goes Corey.
Well, I told you.
On my personal bracket, I had Prince beating Chuck Berry, but Prince has been gone for.
And
so
I told
long.
You what my criteria is.
Victoria.
Listen, Victoria. We love the Kinks. We love the Kinks. Right. They lose to Chuck Berry. It's okay.
Victoria.
All right. Nirvana and Michael Jackson. Historically, let me tell you this. This is, I think, the first time this ever happened in the records charts. Michael Jackson's album was number one in the fall of 1991. And I think it was the first day of 1992. Michael Jackson was number one on the album charts. He was replaced by Nirvana's Nevermind, and music was never the same since. Michael Jackson and Nirvana. I can't hide my love for Nirvana, so I'm picking them. Bill?
I'm going to be the tiebreaker on this one. Go for it, Corey.
Corey? I think Corey's with me, though.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Corey's with me on Nirvana. And any dissension, Bill? Or just for the record, do you pick Michael Jackson over Nirvana?
No.
No, okay. Very good. All right, we're moving on.
Get that fruitcake out
Sorry,
of here.
Sorry, Michael. We love you, but you're gone.
Those were the votes, by the way. The two votes I had for Michael Jackson were the two I liked the least making.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I had to make them, but I didn't like them.
So CCR and ZZ Top, no love for them. Just Michael. Okay. Led Zeppelin and The Who.
Yeah, this is tough.
That is tough. If you're a hard rock guy, I mean, how can you choose? I'll give you my criteria for choosing between Led Zeppelin and The Who. And I think it comes down to live reputation. And The Who have the reputation of the greatest live act ever. And Zeppelin had the reputation of they couldn't recreate the records. So based on that, and
really?
I'd say body of work, I'd go with Who. I'm picking The Who. Corey, let's go to you next.
This is tough.
Yeah.
This is like the most epic. This might be the most.
This is the epic.
Epic rock. I mean, like.
It's a double overtime thriller.
Right? These are the
buzzer
two
beater.
Big, huge.
Giant arena
rock
fans,
sounds.
Yeah.
And obviously, Pete Townsend, massively influential.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, Plant and Page.
Every 80s rock band was based on Led Zeppelin for the most part.
Well,
so.
And I would say most of the metal bands I didn't vote for in this list
were based on
Zeppelin, but I still went with them over The Who.
So we've got one vote for Zeppelin from Corey, one vote for The Who from Joel. Bill.
Who?
Who? Oh, my God. I thought Bill was going for Zeppelin all the way, but it's The Who.
Well, you know.
You know what?
Oddly enough,
as much as I loved Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I never owned one of their albums.
Okay.
I mean, I went out and bought Tommy the moment
but they
it came
were on,
out.
They were on rock radio every minute, Zeppelin.
I know,
you
I understand.
Never get away.
Right.
But I never owned one of their records.
All right, we're done.
Zeppelin 3, Zeppelin 4, these are all great. I don't even know why I made that pick, honestly. I just came down to like a feeling.
Yeah, well, who you got outvoted and the Who went forward, and I think the Who were a 2-seed, Zeppelin was the 3-seed.
Well, that changes the next round for me.
Well, the next round, as I've got it, Elvis Presley and the Beach Boys.
Yeah, you know where I'm going.
Yeah, Corey's going Beach Boys. Boy...
Because part of me, in a trap.
Part of me goes, I'd like
I can't walk out.
I want to say, God, Corey, and you're
because you're a bonehead, Corey. No,
baby. I'm thinking Elvis might have more good songs than the Beach Boys.
Help Me, Rhonda.
I mean, just in terms of singles.
Wouldn't it
I mean,
be
albums
nice?
Should go with Beach Boys, but and I
Pet
think...
Pet Sounds is better than anything Elvis ever did. God Only Knows.
But I'm talking singles. I'm talking singles. I'm talking influence.
These are all singles.
Okay, all right. I hear you.
Good Vibrations.
I'm going with Elvis.
California Girls.
Look, my tournament, it was the band against Bruce Springsteen, so I'm completely out of this. But
you want to talk about, like,
I go with Elvis. It's a vote for Elvis. It's a vote for
Beatles. By the way, you know, I know you talk about how the Beatles made everything happen in the studio.
Yeah.
Brian Wilson was every bit as influential in the studio sense as the Beatles, and the Beatles had had to play catch-up to him.
We're going
to
talk about this in a minute. Yeah. All right. We come down to number one.
All right. Uh-huh. You got to decide between Elvis and Beach Boys.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian Wilson was the number one factor that drove McCartney nuts and made him.
I originally put Elvis down.
You originally put Elvis.
But I'm changing
then,
it.
Then you had eight drinks.
I'm changing it. I'm changing it to Beach Boys.
Thank you.
Jesus fucking H. Christ.
By the way, I am sponsored by Coors, Coors Beer and Crown Royal.
By the way, Bill needs a sponsor.
Yeah, he does.
Of a different kind.
He needs a ride home, Corey, I think is what he needs. All right, in the bottom, we're going to decide. The Beach Boys have made the Final Four. It's the Rolling Stones. I mean, you talk about the Who against Led Zeppelin. Bob Dylan and the Rolling Stones, holy shit.
They both have
longevity. They both have great catalogs.
Not even close.
Bill, so you're going Stones.
Stones.
Well, it came down to it in my bracket, and I voted for Bob Dylan over the Rolling Stones. Corey!
I originally voted for Bob Dylan over the Rolling Stones, and then I had to think about it.
Yeah?
God damn it, that's the hardest. I mean,
it's hard.
And he hasn't had anything to drink.
Well, to me, that's the hardest match in the whole contest. You can't... Winnable, except that I think the depth of the Stones catalog is a little better.
To me, I think Dylan is genius where the Stones are great. And it's greatness against genius. And I think genius kind of wins out.
I don't know if there's a
great... I don't know that the Stones are genius.
Well, think of all the...
I don't think they are. I think they're great. I think the Beatles are genius. I think Dylan is genius.
Where do you get genius for
a genius Dylan. Songwriter, a genius in
lay lay across my back, grass bed.
All right, Corey. So you're going Stones.
See the colors that are in your mind.
So I'm just an idiot now.
I know nothing. I wrote down Dylan. I had Dylan going to the finals, and then I changed my mind.
All right, so you got the Stones. The Stones are ending the final Stones. Four. The Stones. All right, up at the top. Now, this is, again, I don't know, boy, I mean, if Bill's rule of voting for the black guy, if it's really still in effect, it would have to be in order for Chuck Berry to defeat the Beatles.
No, I threw it out the window.
Beatles. Yep. Corey, any objection to the Beatles over Chuck Berry?
No. I mean,
yeah, me neither.
He was obviously foundational influence on
that.
I think George's guitar sound sounds a lot like Chuck Berry.
He did. All of the Berry covers were done by George, you know. Yeah. They were all done by, because he loved Chuck.
But a lot of times, and this is not well known, but a lot of times it was Paul McCartney on the record because George couldn't play it.
He played a lot of the solos, yes. I'm aware of that. Yeah, a lot of the solos.
Well,
after a certain, when they were, what like from like Revolver on, a lot of those were Paul because they didn't have time for George to hit him, I guess. And Paul was kind of the boss. So he did a lot of the, he does the solo on Taxman. Which is a George Harrison song.
Well, that's what a motherfucker.
And Paul plays the
cover. By the way, that's what a motherfucker Paul is.
He's a talented motherfucker.
I'm just saying, that's what a motherfucker.
Yeah.
He was that fucking great.
He was that good that he could throw George Harrison off his own song to do this. Yeah. All right. The Who against Nirvana. I mean, geez. Giant sounds, giant influence. I mean, arena rock, however you want to put it.
I'm going to lose this one.
Well, so what are you saying? You're going for The Who, I'm guessing. Yeah. Corey, I turn to you.
I know nothing about Nirvana.
This just blew my bracket because I originally had Zepp in that spot.
Okay.
And I went with Nirvana over Zepp. But so I'm really thinking about
it. Really?
And I know this is going to make
A, B, B,
I know it's going to make no sense.
C.
it's going to make no sense, and then I would have voted for Led Zeppelin over The Who.
Yeah.
Yet I might vote for The Who over Nirvana. And Nirvana only tragically had three albums.
Yeah, really. Yeah, three albums.
Three albums and
single a couple collections. Other odds and ends. Yeah.
Those are amazing albums.
Sure.
They meant everything to me.
Yeah.
Obviously, Nevermind's a massive influence on. But you know what?
And I realize who has some bad tunes.
Yeah,
Mama's got a squeeze, but Daddy never sleeps at night.
That's the shittiest shit.
Yeah, the Who.
Well, Nirvana didn't stick around long enough to put out crap.
Okay,
so everything they did is pretty tight. Bleach is kind of messy, but I gotta go with the.
You can't
you gotta
say
decide.
It. You can't
I gotta
say
go
it.
With Nirvana.
Oh.
Well, Corey, you know I always like I said earlier. I'm going to stick with my generation. I'm going to stick with what brought me up, what got me there. And, of course, I'm going to break that rule because The Who fucking are great, and The Who beat Nirvana every time.
I mean, I'm not
beat Nirvana.
You know what? I'm not getting upset about it.
Hey.
Yeah, Mama's got a squeeze box. You got a good point. That's a real piece of shit.
Grandma, take me home. Grandma, take me home. Grandma, that was a chorus once too.
Well, quite honest with you, I can't believe my generation ever made it as a hit.
I know.
With the stuttering and shit.
Yeah.
Nobody had ever heard
but
that
see,
before.
That's
and they thought the guy had a real problem.
I can remember when
that song came out, my parents going, that is so unfortunate. This guy's got a problem in there.
In a very direct way, this is the master beating the mentor.
Yeah.
Or the protege. Because the whole shit Pete Townsend did of kicking over the amps and all that stuff in like 1967.
Yeah.
Nirvana later did, and they trashed all their shit. So you got it. The Who was obviously the one who set the template.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to applaud us collectively for picking the lamest, easiest 60s bands to be in the final four. Because it's the Beach Boys, the Stones, the Beatles, and the Who, which most people would say.
You can't
are
fucking
the top.
Argue with it.
Well,
what would you expect
Bob
to have
Dylan
happen?
And Bruce Springsteen is what I would expect.
Yeah.
I had the Beatles and the Who in my side,
oh,
but I
gosh,
had Springsteen.
Darn it.
All right.
How come ABBA isn't in there?
All right. Can we do the Beatles against the Who first? I know it's out of order.
By the way, some of the best work that Dylan did was with another team that got defeated on
the
this.
Band.
The Band.
And that's why I had the Band in the final eight. They only lost to Bruce.
I'm with you.
All right.
The Jayhawks.
Okay, we're going to do the Who against the Beatles next because I think that
now,
we all...
Now, hold on. Was there a play-in game?
What day is it?
Yeah.
Was there a playing game?
There's no playing game.
For 1910 Fruit Gum Company, did they get in there?
No, there's
Procol
no.
Harum?
Okay. Yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy.
That's the Archies.
Yeah, we're those guys.
Do we all want the Beatles over the Who, yes or no?
Yeah.
Is there any debate?
The Beatles started it.
Wait, yes is in this tournament?
Okay, don't get him started on yes. We'll be here all. We're going to be here. His face just changed when you brought up yes. They're not even in the Hall of Fame, so you got to...
You know what's crazy? When Bill got in here, I was going to call him Onion Head. and now he's more like a big tomato.
All right. Is anyone picking the Who over the Beatles? I'm guessing no.
No.
All right. So the Beatles are in the finals.
All right. The Beatles win.
It's
let's move on.
Decide who they're... Well, it's between the Beach Boys and the Rolling Stones. And I think you're the guy. To me, this is easy. I had the Beach Boys leaving five rounds ago.
Yeah.
I had them losing to the Animals. So I'm obviously for the Stones. I just don't know how you guys go because you guys have been lapping up those Beach Boys. Like,
Stones.
Corey?
I am as big a Beach Boys fan as anybody. I'm the guy that, like, the smile outtakes where you just hear Brian, like, going, no, just give me the Fender bass on Channel 3.
Okay.
I can listen to that stuff all day, all the remixes, and I went with the Stones.
All right, so it's the Beatles and the Stones.
There you go.
To decide who the greatest rock band is. We've solved nothing on this show, dude.
No,
kind of
we...
a dud.
We want to apologize to everybody.
Oh, come on.
Who
for
knew
a while
how this
there,
was going to end before
there,
it got
believe
there.
Believe me, there's a guy who's still holding on to that Bob Seger. Believe me, there's a guy somewhere.
Come so, back.
You guys
baby,
don't know what you're talking about. There's a guy who still says ZZ Top is the greatest thing. But,
yeah, I know. And he just screwed up working on the new Fusion.
Right.
Because he bent his spanner. Going,
yeah.
You sons of bitches.
Well, listen, the Beatles and the Stones, and that's been a debate since the 60s. I'm a Beatles guy. I'll always be a Beatles guy. I love the Stones.
Continues.
Corey, any objection to the Beatles over the Stones?
Only on the grounds of inventiveness and flexibility.
Yep.
Because the Stones are...
And
really,
longevity. They're still playing for crazy.
It's kind of this deal. It's kind of like, well, who's the strongest guy in the Marvel comics? Well, Thor.
Yeah, right.
And then you go, but there's the Hulk.
Yeah,
so
exactly. So
it's like you just can't... There's, you can't argue with that shit.
You can't. And
man, I'm in an episode of The Big Bang Theory. All of a sudden.
I know.
Now, personally, who did you guys have in your tournaments? Because I had the Beatles beating Springsteen in the final round. Because I had Bruce beating Bob Dylan to get in. What was yours? How did yours go, Bill?
No, pretty much like this. I had the Beatles and the Stones.
You just can't justify
but I had,
that.
But the ones that got voted off, I had Pink Floyd against Elvis.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
So I lost those
Pink
two.
Floyd against okay. Yes. Yeah,
and if my final four was Elvis, Stones, Pink Floyd, and Beatles.
Oh, okay, so you had Pink Floyd going all the way and beating the Who.
I had the Beach Boys, the Beatles, the Stones, and Nirvana in my final four.
Okay.
I'm pretty close. Was probably
with that.
Overstating Nirvana a little bit.
My final four were Bruce, Dylan, Beatles, and The Who. My final eight, I had Prince, Nirvana, The Band, and The Stones.
Because you know what? In truthfulness, and this goes back to REM.
Yeah.
As much as I loved those bands 20 years ago, and as much as I loved Nirvana, and I saw them, and they were great, they aren't a band I listen to every day or anything, and I could probably listen to a Beatles song every day.
Yeah. Yeah,
happily.
Well, I read the big Nirvana bios that came out. I read both of those like last year, and listened to nothing but Nirvana for several months and loved it. So,
and it's great, and I loved it. But I'm just saying,
and I went through all of their outtakes and all of the beasts and all of the bootlegs.
There's
and all that
rarely
stuff.
A day that goes by where I don't listen to either the Stones, the Beach Boys, or the Beatles at least one song. Right.
But there's a 300-page book out there called "How the Beatles Destroyed Rock and Roll."
Explain this to me.
And here's the Cliff Notes version.
Okay,
you know, and this book. Goes way back into the history, like the turn of the century, and what music was all about.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody in a family played an instrument because that was entertainment. There was no radio.
Okay.
You know, there was no TV. So everybody learned to play piano or guitar or something like that. And music was all about dancing.
Okay.
That was a huge form of entertainment.
And that's where the Beatles performed early in their career.
Well,
dances.
That's right. And all the way up through, you know, of course, you know, on Dick Clark, they used to say that's how they rated songs. Yeah. You know, it was easy to dance to. I give it a 7.9.
It's got a good beat. It's easy to dance to.
That's right. That's what it was all about. And not only that, you wanted to do something that could be reproduced because there's royalties. There's a royalty stream.
Right, yeah.
So you wanted other bands playing your stuff.
Yeah.
Along come the Beatles.
Yeah.
The first mega band on the face of the planet. Right. And all of a sudden now, they're making so much money that they can say, number one, we're not going to tour anymore.
Yeah, they did that.
So they don't have to worry about their songs being reproduced live.
Yeah.
And so they were the very first studio band.
Absolutely.
That could go in there and start playing around with George Martin.
Yeah.
Saying, well, let's do this and let's do that.
Well, that's Sgt. Pepper is the result
exactly.
of that experiment.
All right. Yeah. And so that's what happened. And of course, all the other super bands like the Stones and the Who did the same thing.
Yeah.
They said, well, yeah, why don't we just go in the studio and come up all this complex stuff. But people couldn't dance to a lot of what was coming out. And there was like a period there of like 4 or 5 years where these major bands were just doing this weird, you know, conceptual album, you know, album sides.
Yeah.
You know, an entire album side, you know, was
well, what happened
a song.
What happened was that the dance music reverted back to R&B, and then it went back to black artists.
No, what happened was disco. The lack of dancing
gave birth to disco.
People didn't know, you know, there was this pin-up thing amongst kids that were in their teens.
But did disco really kill music, though?
Disco didn't kill anything, but I'm just saying that all this studio stuff gave rise to disco, because when disco came out, people were ready to dance.
Well, but it also meant that people you didn't need a live band to dance to now. You could dance to a record. So
That's right.
Because disco was probably made by two guys, maybe, or if even that, if not one guy. Sitting in a studio and playing all the tracks, then that's where disco comes from. I don't know.
I think disco was really an evolution from soul.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Funk
yeah.
and all of that stuff.
Well, yeah, that comes into play. But I'm just saying the big bands of the time weren't doing stuff that was dancing.
Well, I find the Beatles changed a lot of stuff. And I know like Tin Pan Alley was kind of destroyed by Bob Dylan and the Beatles because, you know, all of those, everyone wanted to do their own material. They didn't want to do these.
Something comes along in music and destroys whatever was before it. Pennies from Heaven is about how Steve Martin is a sheet music salesman. mm-hmm. and the record destroy the you know
yeah.
albums sure. or records yeah. destroy his business.
Well, that yeah,
something was, comes along. Yeah. You know the vibraphone,
right.
The radio. Well, the records, all these things.
Records destroyed piano rolls. Piano rolls sure, used to be a big sure, business, sure. and now you couldn't have piano rolls.
And then the radio killed,
records,
killed
yeah.
the Victrola market.
Yeah, so yeah,
and so
and video killed the radio station.
So something comes along in music, and people find a new way to hear the format, or the formats change,
and
you know, but
Joel Radio killed podcasting. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on.
And
on.
It continues.
We fucking built podcasting to the money making enterprise it is for other people.
Yeah, exactly.
So I want you to know.
Yeah, enjoy your royalties, guys. All right, now thank Bill. You were first of all, Bill was so great to have as part
terrific.
Of
no,
this.
Thanks.
This thing.
No, this was fun.
Because you know we were going to have John Tenney in here, and we said, you know, let's get a guy who's not maybe our the same age as us. Let's sure. get a guy who you know rock and roll was before us, and so
Bill's
Bill.
Bill's got a wider view, yeah.
And
you know,
that's
it's
great.
Good.
So it's good to have Bill here. Now we have. Do you want to do these movie reviews real quick? Because I got one, and
oh,
I think
God.
You saw something.
A right.
couple things that
let
are
Bill
coming
go.
Out this week.
Call a cab.
Well, no.
Hey,
no
stick around.
I'm just gonna go. You're gonna
go
get
to the boys'
some beer, and then
right.
I'll be right back.
Bill's gonna let Bill pee, and
you guys go ahead.
You go ahead and pee.
All right.
Well, why don't you do the Wes Anderson movie? Tell us about that.
Oh,
I know our fans are probably fans of Wes Anderson.
The Grand
Anderson.
Budapest Hotel.
Yeah, you saw that last night,
new,
and it opens
the
wide
new
this week. So
Wes Anderson film?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Wes Anderson has gotten more and more Wes Anderson-y.
Yeah.
He's become more and more a victim
yes.
of his own genre, his own style.
Right.
And increasingly, that's gotten to be kind of frustrating.
Right.
When he started out, he did Rushmore,
right.
and he did Bottle Rocket and Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah,
his movies used to be about eccentric characters mm-hmm. in a normal world.
Yeah,
Rushmore, it's about this kid who's kind of a weirdo.
Yeah,
who has all these kind of little things he's into.
Yeah,
but it's in a real play. It's in a yeah. it's in a recognizable world. Eventually, he started making it more and more into a controllable universe.
Well, it's a universe now, yeah.
Now, this is the ultimate expression
right,
of
yeah.
that.
Right, yeah. I haven't seen it, but the trailer, it looks like this is like the Avengers of Wes Anderson movies.
Right.
It's like all of the previous stars
well,
of Wes Anderson.
All the guys
all
he
crammed
uses,
into the, yeah.
Adrian Brody yeah. and Bill Murray and
Ed Norton
and yeah. all those guys. Yeah. But this has Ralph Fiennes,
yeah.
who's the lead, and it really... is terrific. He really holds the
all
movie
right.
together. It's got, look, on paper, you'll sit there and go, God, this looks twee and embarrassing.
Yeah.
I was not a huge fan of Moonrise Kingdom, which a lot of
see,
people
I
like.
Thought, when I told you I didn't like that, I thought you dumped on me, but maybe...
No, I thought that was a little too
yeah.
excessively
yeah.
twee.
It was, yeah.
And the problem with Moonrise Kingdom was that everybody was on the same note.
Yeah.
They were all... They
right.
were all
there
monotone.
Was no, there was no contrast. There was no dynamic
well,
between...
In
yeah.
this case, Ralph Fiennes gives a great performance.
Okay.
And he's not playing exactly the type of character that Wes Anderson always has.
Yeah.
He's much more and that was the same thing with Royal Tenenbaums. I think Gene Hackman told him, hey, fuck you, kid. I'm going to handle this my way.
yeah, right.
And just did what he wanted.
Yeah.
And the movie was better for it.
Right.
This is another case.
Okay.
Also, it makes more sense because the entire world is this ornately curated.
Yeah.
One, it's in this weird old school.
It was 1:3:3.
It's in 1:3:3. It's in an
old.
Yeah,
I don't know why they made
it's
in
this
1:3:3
box aspect ratio.
Yeah,
although a couple times it expands to wider.
Sure,
but thank you.
Bill's having another beer.
Well, hey. sometime.
Surprise.
One of these days you'll learn how to hold your liquor, Fragamenti. And look.
Yeah, so you're recommending Moonrise Kingdom.
I'm recommending Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, Grand Budapest Hotel.
I mean,
yes.
if you were already not a fan of Wes Anderson, this
yeah.
is not going to help
yeah.
you in any way.
Yeah, they've been pushing this hard. It's like, you know, like every movie I've been to at any of these art house places, that trailer's been on for the last like, 4 months.
It's an art house movie.
Yeah,
it's kind of brilliantly
okay.
rendered, although I don't know the aspect ratio thing.
Yeah, I don't get that either,
well,
especially now that everyone's got a big screen TV.
He's got this argument about this will actually look better on TV. In the movie theater, in the 1:3:3...
It would seem tight, right? It seemed narrow.
It seems a little
yeah,
tight, and
yeah.
you think, this shit looks great. Why is this not using the full screen?
Yeah.
He's got this weird issue with symmetry.
Symmetry, yeah. I remember
he wants everything to be symmetrical. And so that's why he used the 1:3:3, which is the box style they used prior to the 50s.
Yeah.
Or aspect ratio. Now I'm getting fucking super nerdy.
Yeah, you are.
But,
it's the old television aspect ratio. This
right.
And the standard.
Well,
and
that was 3:2.
Well, 1:3:3 is 3:2. Keep drinking, Bill. Keep drinking.
I did the math.
But 3-2, 3-2, 1-3-3. These are aspect ratios, which means the length. Right. The length times the width.
3-2 is 1-3-3. They're exactly the same.
Old movie houses used to have screens that were 16 built to that style.
Yeah.
Now and then in the 50s, they went widescreen to compete with TV.
Right.
Nerd factor aside, this is a very entertaining movie, I think, because it's got a lot of humor in it. It's funny. Ralph Fiennes plays this very fruity, delicate, kind of a very official character, and then he just starts swearing.
Is this like a murder mystery, or is this a caper movie?
There's a caper aspect to it. There's
Because this kind of reminds me of like Blame It on the Bellman or some one of those wacky British.
It's not quite like
farcical.
It is farcical. Yeah. It is a farce.
Yeah.
But what's weird about it is it has a frame story because it's so Wes Anderson. It's so like up his own ass.
Yeah.
It's inside two frame stories. I mean, that sounds awful.
Well, it's you recommending it, and if you've seen the trailer, you probably either look at that and go, that looks like a piece of shit, or, oh my God, I can't wait to see that.
What I like
about
it.
And I'm more of wanting to see it, so I'll probably go.
You know, people like the Fantastic Mr. Fox because he could, that was puppets and it made sense.
Yeah.
For that whole world to exist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is the same thing.
Okay.
He just ditched all the reality out of it and went straight to this, his own little European world that he made. So I liked it a lot.
All right. So, Bill, do you even know what this movie is?
No, got no idea.
Well, let me talk about a movie that, if you didn't know what that is, you have no fucking idea what this movie that I saw this week is. And it's called Tim's Vermeer. Probably never heard of it, have you? Tim Vermeer was a painter in the 1600s. He was a Dutch painter. And he is known for doing The Girl with the Pearl Earring. Do you know that painting at all?
Was there subtitles with this?
No. It's the documentary. Basically, it's about a guy named Tim. I forget what his last name is, but he's a guy who was an inventor. He invented the video toaster. Do you know what the video toaster is? Or the TriCaster? Yeah, the video toaster is an Amiga thing. He's the guy who did that. He's this billionaire technology guy who's an inventor. And he looks at Vermeer's paintings and goes, the Vermeer's paintings are known because they have a photographic quality about them. They look like photos. And his argument is a guy can't sit down freehand and paint that. Somehow you have to invoke some sort of technology. And his argument was, the argument for years has been that he used a camera obscura, if you know what that is. That's where you put a hole in the wall and it projects from one room to the other, and it's upside down and the other side. If you've ever, it's the same principle that camera works.
If the Ford,
talk about Nerdville.
I know.
If the Ford plant hadn't checked out when
I know
shit
exactly.
On
let me keep going. So anyway, this documentary is about this guy Tim, who invented the video toaster, and he's friends with Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller. So Penn and Teller made this documentary. Penn produced it and narrates it, and Teller was the director. And they follow this guy, Tim, as he decides, he figures out the technique by which he believes Vermeer painted his paintings. But nobody knows how Vermeer did his paintings.
I've heard this story.
It's not a camera, because cameras didn't exist in the 1600s. So he figures out using mirrors and lenses. And he actually goes so far as to like make his own lenses to try to recreate how Vermeer did. He says, I'm going to paint a Vermeer. And this is a guy who's never painted anything in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is obsessed by Vermeer and wants to figure out. So he ends up having to build this contraption and recreate the staging of one of Vermeer's famous paintings in order to do it. And you see this whole process of this guy essentially kind of, it's just like a kind of a obsessed man. With this painting, and he's convinced he figured out how Vermeer did it, and he tries to recreate it, and you see it essentially sort of destroy his life as he tries to recreate Vermeer, and it's fascinating. It's great if you love art, if you love mystery. There's a lot of tension. It is funny at times because Penn and Teller are funny, and even this guy Tim kind of knows his limits, and he can he can barely believe what he's putting himself through, and it's amazing. It really is one of the great documentaries I've seen in a long time.
I have not seen it yet. I will check it out.
You do need to check it out.
I heard what actually happened is that Marty McFly and Doc Brown went through in the DeLorean and they forgot and left a Polaroid.
Well, it's great. here's the thing that ultimately the movie sort of goes is Tim comes up with a way and he's like, this is how you can duplicate a Vermeer. Okay. But there's still no proof that that's what Vermeer did. And there's a lot of like art history and people and critics who go, fuck you, Vermeer painted that shit with his eye and a paintbrush, and fuck you, he didn't have to. Because there's people that believe that, only the great art can be created in the Renaissance or the, art, you can't have great art that involves technology. And Tim's argument is, well, that's what the video toaster is. That's what CGI is. It is, we're making great art using technology. Well, and maybe Vermeer was the pioneer of that. Maybe he was the first guy to.
It's kind of what this whole rock thing we just did was.
A little bit.
Everybody here, as they moved on down the line, got more involved technology.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean they were better.
Right. You could argue that...
I think Rush is a piece of shit compared to Little Richard.
Right.
So, I mean...
You could argue that Chuck Berry is better than, you know, U2. And you could say, well, U2 had a lot more tools to work with, and look what Chuck Berry...
But these guys were all standing on the shoulders of other people.
That's true. So, you know, anyway, if you see...
There always had to be a first guy.
Art does really make a gradual line.
Yeah.
And if you look at stuff from the Renaissance, if you look from stuff pre-Raphaelite, if you look at all that stuff prior to the Renaissance, the complexity isn't there.
Right.
It's ornate, but it's not realistically, the anatomy's not realistic. And then starting with Da Vinci and all that shit, it starts making a progress up to Vermeer and Van Eyck and the argument is, with Vermeer, they're saying
like the light, when you look at light entering a room, if we just let the light cast in, that the way that the light shades a wall is impossible for a human being to recreate merely with a paintbrush. There's too much gradation. Our eyes aren't sensitive enough to read it. And yet when you look at a Vermeer, it's exactly because they do analysis and they go, this is perfect. If you were to take a photograph of this room and Vermeer's painting, it's exactly like it.
This is the same stuff they say about Incan temples and pyramids and shit. How could that possibly have been done?
Message to the Ford plant. Breaks over. Everybody back to the line. Breaks over.
Vermeer, but listen, after seeing this movie, I'm with Tim. I'll just leave it at that.
As I was saying about pussy farts.
I'm with Tim. We have not talked about Emma Stone's nipples once. So the feminists that hated us for doing that, fuck you. Instead, you got to talk about CCR REM. And Pink Floyd.
And I've heard this feedback as well.
Yeah.
And I will say to those ladies, those women.
There are women who are fans of Joel Radio.
Those women with a Y. Yes. If you were offended by us discussing Emma Stone's nipples, we open this format to you. You come in and we'll discuss your nipples
They can come in and they can do a bracket and they can vote for Fleetwood Mac and Janis Joplin.
Absolutely.
Knock yourselves out.
Or you can come in and talk about my nipples or Joel's nipples.
Or better yet, send us your selfies.
Yes.
Give them the email. Hit them with the email address.
Just go to joelradio.net or send them to the @JoelRadioShow on Twitter.
Hell, I'll go one better. Tweet me.
At
Corey Hall Comic on Twitter.
Yeah, at Joel Radio Show.
Hit me up on Instagram. I'm CoreyTron75.
Oh, okay.
Send me a direct message.
Oh.
Send me your selfies. If you're offended by how we critique Emma Stone,
you ain't getting one goddamn selfie.
We'll critique your pictures.
All right.
In confidentiality.
Sure.
Bill?
And if I said anything offensive, send your letters to Joel Fragmenti.
Yes.
Care of the Joel Radio Show.
By the way, tell us we're crazy at 610-552-0746.
If anyone's looking for me in the month of April, I'll be with Bruce Springsteen, so fuck all you assholes. I'll be with him in Cincinnati,
well, I'll be with,
Columbus, and Pittsburgh. So
I'll be with another influential star, Big Tommy.
And his comedy club. All right. Good night. Thanks for everybody for listening. Fill out your own brackets. Fight about it. Do the Beatles make it to the end or not? I'm guessing some people know. I think the draw of Jimi Hendrix is going to be too much for some people, but we'll see.
And the password, as always, if you listen to this whole show, your password tonight
is
Kajagoogoo.
All right, Kajagoogoo. Soon to be in the Rock
and Roll. The great Bill Hildebrandt, where will we see you?
And if you wake up tomorrow feeling sleepy and grumpy, you must be Snow White.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Bill, can we see you anywhere?
Yeah.
No.
All right. He's going to be passed out on my couch in about 5 minutes. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Good night.